The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! We'll throw it out!
I want this music out of my head!
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and we're still going over everything that the Patriots did on draft weekend. The more I think about it, the more I like it. I like three particular picks. I like the two wide receivers, the two top receivers they picked. And, you know, I've come around on Jamie Collins. So I think those three guys can contribute this year. And for a draft the way it was, you know, picking in the second round, moving down, and, you know, what everyone said, I think if we can get three contributors this year out of this draft, okay, that's a success.
I'd be stunned if both receivers contributed.
Really?
Based on their history with young receivers and the position in general, I'd be stunned if they both contributed.
They need them to.
But I think
they really do.
I think they're complementary enough where they could.
Well, anybody could.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't think that they're that similar where you got to choose between one or the other. I think they both could have roles that are complementary.
Sure, down the road.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this team hasn't developed a receiver.
I know,
to assume two in one draft are going to be field ready.
No, I agree.
That's a jump.
I think there's
not
a
to start, but to contribute.
There's a reason why they brought Daboll back, and I think that
wasn't to tape ankles,
right? And yeah. I think that's.
Well, what was it to do?
I think that's one of the reasons. I think that they recognize that they need help in that area, and I think that, you know, they're going to try like hell. You might be right, based on history, you know. It's against what I'm saying, but I think they recognize that that's a weakness, and I think they're going to address it this year, and I think these guys have a chance to contribute.
I hope you're right, Fred, because they do need – I think they need at least one of those guys to start.
Yep.
Oh, I do too. Or if not start,
be very much in the regular rotation
of playing time.
And if one guy's a speed guy, one guy's more of a size guy – if you had to have one of them, which one would you want to contribute?
I'm madly in love with Boyce.
You want Boyce.
I want to see a guy run down the field fast.
I would say Dobson.
Me too. Yeah.
I want a guy who can out-muscle.
I think he can be another red zone target.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if we don't have Gronk for as much as we'd like.
Yeah.
You need somebody in the red zone.
Yeah. No.
Out-muscling guys.
Well, or out-jump them.
Out-jumping, at least.
You know?
I want to watch somebody run by somebody. Catch it in stride.
A tweet just moments ago from our friend Chris Price, who said something to the effect of, the more I talk to people, it sounds like Jamie Collins is going to be a coverage linebacker.
Yeah. Things that don't exist.
Well, I didn't need to talk to anybody to know that.
Well, but I want him to be a pass-rushing linebacker. I don't care about his coverage skills. I want him to get to the quarterback and sack the quarterback.
In a related note, Chris Price says the Tooth Fairy will be arriving later as well.
Oh, Andy's starting off on a negative note. I thought you were a little bit more positive about this draft.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
I like the potential. I'm kind of with you. I like the receivers, especially Boyce and Collins. Those are my two guys. Athleticism, potential playmakers down the road. I just don't buy the coverage linebacker thing. I don't think it really exists. Yeah. I don't think there's any linebackers that make their money in coverage. There are good ones. You know, one of the best happens to be a guy who's just good at everything in Patrick Willis. You watch him play, and there's times when he's 30 yards downfield fighting for the football.
But he's rare.
Right. I just think, and I tweeted back and forth with Matt Chatham on this because sarcastically one day he said something about coverage linebackers, and I said they don't exist, and he said that's my point. And that's a guy, I'm not saying he was great, but a linebacker, an NFL, played linebacker in the NFL. This idea, this Adalys Thomas, this whoever these guys are, if you're fixating your defense on you think this guy's going to come in and cover, I think you suck.
But having said that, and I agree 100% with you, the Patriots can get better.
Oh,
you know, there is the statement that it's hard to cover as a linebacker in this league, but then there's also the statement that of that, the Patriots are the worst. So there's room for improvement.
Right, but I'm with Eric. I'd like to see the room for improvement, get some pass rush, and Jamie Collins, who theoretically can do both, I'd like to see him moving forward, not going backwards.
Yeah, I don't want to waste, well, not waste, but I don't want to invest that high a pick on a guy who's going to be seen as a guy who drops back into coverage.
Plus,
yeah.
If he can cover, let's just say, great, he's a coverage linebacker. Well, there's still four or five other guys that are going to be uncovered, right?
Yeah.
If he can rush, that helps the entire defense dramatically.
Well, yeah.
If he can be a second or third rusher.
Being on their heels or moving forward. Like
well, but even just the fact that pressure covers for everyone. Coverage only covers for one guy, one area, one player. So if he can be a secondary or a third rusher with Ninkovich, Jones, and Collins, or you know him and Hightower coming from different spots, if he can be that, to me that can change your whole defense. That can be an impact player. I don't really think in coverage you're that much of an impact player.
No.
Most offenses have three or four weapons they're looking to go to in this day and age.
It's hard.
So
you have to be one of the elite guys.
And you have to be able to cover so tightly without committing a foul.
Right. Because no one can.
At this level, the good quarterbacks can squeeze a pass into a window that's only like 6 inches wide.
Right. It can be stride for stride, and then he throws it to the back shoulder and he just turns and catches it.
I want Jamie Collins in the backfield with Chandler Jones.
Right. I want to see him be athletic. I want to see Hightower do this year what I thought I was going to see last year, and then I want Collins to be a poor man's that. He's coming forward. He's all over the place. And with those two, you don't know where they are. What are they doing? Oh, it's crazy.
B-Lo did a little one-on-one with Armin Armstead, or as I call him, Armin Hammer.
Oh, yeah?
any hope that he might contribute in that pass rush?
Sure. I've seen nothing of him. So I have nothing to base it on other than Pete Carroll saying, we thought this guy was a future first-round pick when we brought him in. Love him. Great kid. You know, it went south with all the stuff with the Toradol. But, yeah, theoretically, it's the whole Matt Castle theory. I don't care what happened afterwards. You went to USC as one of the prime athletes and prospects in the country. You started there. You made plays there. You know, he even has that up on Matt Castle and guys like that are more projects.
Yeah.
He didn't do a ton in Canada, but
I'm intrigued. He had 10 sacks.
He was an MVP.
No, I don't think he had 10 sacks. He wasn't an MVP. He was a rookie something. He was not an MVP.
No.
Okay, he won an award.
He won an award for something.
I thought he had some production there.
He did. He had like 6 sacks.
Okay, 6 sacks and it was a 10
No, games. But my point is, when Cameron Wake came here, it was coming off 2 Defensive Player of the Year in Canada where he combined for like 35 sacks or 30, something ridiculous. This guy had a good first year in Canada.
Coming off a heart attack.
Yeah, but it's Canada.
Okay.
It's right. Canada.
I also
the level of competition is like Paul's.
Okay.
I also temper my enthusiasm with the fact that he's a defensive tackle. And
well, he was an end at USC. That's the question. What's he going to be? What, you know, is he a tackle who trends toward end? And if that's the case, maybe he can be a left defensive end here, where you're a bigger takeover.
Well, if that's the case, then I'd be more inclined to say I expect stuff out of him.
But to me, he is a total unknown.
Yeah, he is unknown.
Total.
And another guy who, I mean, I don't know if he's an unknown, but we don't know what his potential is Beckett, Jake Beckett. I mean, here's a guy who came in with a ton of sacks in college and couldn't make the
if anyone needs a year two jump badly, it's him.
Yeah, but if you multiply
at least
zero times something.
No, but I mean, zero. At least, you know, Hightower, Jones, even Wilson
in the back,
Dennard, those guys played. They contributed. In most cases, they started. He needs to prove he can play at this level.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. That kind of sets a little bit of the table. Today, players will be out on the field. Chandler Jones and Stephen Ridley will be available to the media at 2:30. And draft picks will be
Jamie Collins will get his jersey.
Just Jamie Collins today?
And he's not talking. Draft picks will speak tomorrow at the start of rookie minicamp.
Okay. So
Jamie Collins will just hold up the one.
No interaction with Collins?
That is my understanding. He's just
really it's just a photo op,
and then Robert Kraft will speak.
Something tells me that'll change.
It should, because it's always been you talk to him. But who knows?
Yeah.
Things always change. We used to watch rookie minicamp practice. We don't anymore. We watch them stretch. It's a fluid situation at all times.
So, do we know if we're going to get a player today?
No, we don't.
No.
I think it's doubtful.
Doubtful.
I was hoping we could get either Jones or Ridley before they went out for their 2:30 meeting with the media, but it didn't sound too.
Yeah, we had Dan Conley the other day.
I heard.
It was good. It was a great interview.
It was a nice interview. Hmm. I heard.
It was great.
Nice little interview.
Yeah.
He was really interesting off the air.
And Paul's here. Paul's here now. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Talking to coaches.
Got one of your guys, huh?
I did. Yeah. I got my my second guy, which was good. Dave Cohen from Rutgers.
Okay.
And now my brother is talking to him as well. So
he's going through the Perillo car wash.
He's going through the Perillo car wash. Because we did, I don't know if you guys heard, but we drafted three different guys from Rutgers.
Right.
Not sure.
Signed
you guys,
one as a rookie free
not
agent,
Not sure you
too.
Guys were aware of that.
We're in a bit of a Rutgers rut.
Talk to him a little bit about that whole NFL ready thing.
He doesn't buy it?
Oh, no. He buys it.
I don't know where that's coming from. These guys are all punks.
Patriots ready, maybe. I don't know about NFL ready.
Yeah, he's big into it.
Did you ask him why Greg Schiano isn't big into it?
Oh, yeah, why he didn't draft the guys? good question.
Well, there is a chance.
I left that part out.
One of the guys, wasn't Tampa Bay choosing shortly after us that they may have taken one of them?
Well, they always may have taken them.
Let me ask you a question.
They may not have.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just wondering if you think it's the case that Bill Belichick, when he looks at personnel for offense, building personnel for offense and building personnel for defense, he looks at it differently such that a defense, it's more give me a guy who's athletic, who's smart, who will listen to me and is coachable and will do his job. You know, he tends to lean more that way than on offense where, okay, we need a certain amount of talent. We need the Gronkowskis. We need the Mankins. We need the Bradys. You know, and so I need to lean more toward the talent on offense. But on defense, I don't always have to take that guy if I think the guy can work within my system and can take coaching and will do his job and not freelance. And that's why he's okay drafting these guys, you know, from Rutgers and Tavon Wilsons, and because I can coach these guys. What do you think about that?
I think he believes that on all sides of the ball. I think for him, being where you're supposed to be, doing your job, is of utmost importance. I don't think he says offense I can have freelancers, defense I can't.
No, but
I don't think they like freelancers anywhere. I think they want reliability and consistency, and they would take that on both sides of the ball over a freakish athlete who may or may not do what I tell him to on 4 out of 5 plays,
but maybe,
on the fifth he could make a big play.
But blending in the economics of it, maybe he thinks, you know, it is worth value-wise having the best tight end and paying him. You know.
So you let him off the hook. I think he drafts defensive players thinking they're going to be
good,
and then they're not good.
I started this out by saying I'm wondering if you agree.
No, I don't agree with it at all.
That way.
I think he thinks when he drafts a player, he's going to be good. I don't think he says, well, you know what? He's not as good as this guy, but at least I can tell him something and he'll do it. I think he drafts all of them on both sides of the ball with the belief that they could be good.
And I do also agree with Fred in that I do separate the offense and defense. It doesn't matter to me. He doesn't want to knowingly draft guys that he doesn't think the aptitude is there. If you know where you're supposed to be and you're doing what you're supposed to do and quote unquote football is important to you, I think you're a candidate for build a draft. I think that, like Andy said, when he's drafting players, he thinks they're good players.
Well, yeah,
let's face it,
he thinks they're good players, but they're relative. I mean, he's not going to.
I don't
tell
think
you
he
that.
Wants a less talented player who's smart. Then, as
he's
long
not
as
tell you
as
that
long as the talented
Willis
guy's
is,
not dumb,
you know,
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? As long as the, you know,
right.
I think he'd take an average player over an above average player if the above average player he thought was a rockhead. I think he would take the average player. But I think that he wants the best players he can get. And I think his track record in the draft is very, very good. Now, you know, we all have our nitpicks that we throw out there, and I have been as critical of some of those as anybody. But I don't think that he's looking for guys that are just sort of, you know, coachable, and that's all he cares about. He wants talent.
Well, sure, you have to have a baseline of talent. There's no doubt. I think we wonder,
like, Logan Ryan is not a,
you know, why is he comfortable drafting all these guys from Rutgers?
I think he's, well, I mean, it's not just Rutgers, but I think when he fixates on a particular player for whatever reason, you know, he likes the cut of his jib, as somebody used to say. You know, whatever it is, he likes a certain thing about that player. If nobody else in the world thinks that player is worth anything, it doesn't matter to him.
Right.
He sees something, true. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take him. Damn it. It's the principle of the thing. I like the player.
And I
it's
have almost no
like
problem he likes it that
way. I don't yeah. either. I can appreciate yeah. that.
It's almost like he likes it that way.
Yeah.
But I agree with that assessment wholeheartedly. I think he finds players. But if you look,
I'm not sure his scouts like that.
There have been runs. There have been runs at schools that he's had. You know, for a while it was
Florida.
It was Fresno State for a while.
Yep, Fresno.
You know, with when Pat Hill was there. You know, and obviously with Florida, when Urban Meyer was there. And you know, listen, right now Rutgers is the school of the month.
State, Alabama, and Rutgers, I think you see the connection. It's a pro caliber program
in
that he
Florida.
Believes.
Yep.
Well, Florida, I don't know, because I don't know that that was a pro caliber program. And to me, these are NFL programs that were run like NFL programs.
And before someone jumps all over him, when Andy's saying not a pro caliber program, he's not talking in
he
terms of
the
talent.
Style.
No, I'm talking yeah. about what they
no,
asked them to do.
I know
do.
What you're yeah. talking about, but I don't want someone to think like, you don't think Florida has pro player? Of course.
If anybody's do. Stupid enough to email that in, then they deserve to get ripped by me when they do it.
Okay, well, I was just trying to avoid that
you know,
step. I'm
and,
sorry.
You know,
why avoid it? It might be fun.
And to give people a little bit even more of an understanding, when Tom Coughlin was the head coach at BC, he ran a pro-style offense. You know,
yes.
And
NFL, program. Yeah. A pro-style program.
And he was
right.
from the NFL.
Right.
Just like, and it's not always the entire program. It was when we took Jonathan Wilhite. It was because he got pro coaching from Will Muschamp when he was his coach at Auburn. You know, it can be down to the position coach who does it in a NFL way. The skills we ask them to do, the techniques they use are NFL techniques. He
right.
likes that. And it makes sense. I mean, you don't want to throw it at the dartboard and say, well, this guy did all these college stuff really well, but I don't know if he can do the things we're going to ask him to do. If you see it on tape, you have a better comfort saying the guy can do what we're going to ask him to do because it's very similar.
Okay.
And I think this year's draft, he fell towards the draft's not that good. So I'm going, and I think I said this Tuesday, I'm going with the comfort guys. I think these are NFL ready. The talent sucks. From whatever point on, you know, there was only two or three players in the first round we thought could start for us and middle rounds, whatever. I think he said, and he said this on the record in the past, Rutgers players, whatever their talent level is, are NFL ready in terms of being professional, what they're asked to do, ready to compete, all that. They might be a seventh round talent, you know, Justin Francis, whatever. He may have a ceiling that's pretty low, but he's going to give me the NFL level of that ceiling, if that makes any sense. And I think on some level, that's what this draft was about for the Rutgers thing.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
Now, I think other people go the other way. I think he's gone the other way at times. The draft sucks. I'm just going to swing for the fences. This guy, there's a good chance he'll be out of the league in 2 years, but if he's not, he might be an all-pro. I think sometimes you see that.
Would you say that's what Miami did?
What did Miami do?
You know, kind of swing for the fences, move
trading up for...
You know.
Oh, Deion... Well, I'm not really talking about first-round picks here. I'm more talking in general. Swinging for the fences on
rolling
guys.
Rolling the dice is
you know,
more,
Brandon
more of that.
Tate or something like that.
Or the English discus
Well,
shot
he was undrafted.
I know,
so.
But yeah, if you were to take a guy
I
like
think
that,
the Dolphins
would that be a swinging for the fences? Is what
well,
you're talking about?
Yeah, I guess to some degree. Yeah. I mean, I do think the Dolphins swung for the fences. I think, you know, they took a guy that could either be great or really suck, a real, like, project. And who knows? Is he JPP? Is he the guy that didn't have to do a lot in college to become good in the end? I don't know. But their future depends on it.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
508-298. I think it's their last two first-round picks. If they hit on those, you now have your competition at the AFC East. If they swing and miss on those, same old, same old.
See, everybody's going to jump all over Miami for being the free agent. And I don't think that you can just build a team with free agency. I don't think that's the right way to do it. But it's not going to matter what they did in the offseason if Tannehill isn't good. Andy's absolutely right. If they hit on that first round pick, and you know Jordan too, you know, with a trade up, you're going to be fine. It doesn't matter about Donnell Ellerbe and Brent Grimes and whoever else they picked up. They're going to need, you know, now they're in the market for Eric Winston, by the way, which I think would be a really good move for them.
Oh, yeah.
To add a veteran tackle and alleviate the pressure
Does
off of your guy.
Tackle?
I don't know, but I'd rather have him there than Jonathan Martin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Bryant McKinney is still available, too, even though I think he's, you know,
I'd be scared to death
a threat away from being completely done.
All right. Other news, Patriots-wise, there's still rumors out there that John Abraham is going to be a Patriot. Somebody said... There was somebody else that said that there's a deal out there for John Abraham.
That was a common rumor late last week, early this week, that he was finalizing a deal. I have heard that from people, and I know kind of who their sourcing is. It's loose, but now he's going to Tennessee today to visit for a 2-day visit.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's just looking for money.
I think he's
unless
I think
he's really, really playing out your.
I don't
you
close.
Know,
I don't close the door.
Plausible
the
deniability. No, I didn't have a. No. I didn't have a handshake with the Patriots.
You know, if he's going for a visit with another team, then I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. You're wrong.
Yeah, because that
damn it.
You know.
But if he signs any time before, say, you know, August 15th, you were wrong, right? Like if he's at minicamp with the Patriots.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I still think he's going to end up a Patriot. I think this is negotiating.
So does Jason LaConfora.
I think this is negotiating.
But he's
trying to get money. That's all.
All the time.
Okay. All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Any other news you want to bring to the four?
The four.
No, but something I'd like to bring to the five is, I don't know. I got nothing. There's no news
okay.
right now.
All right.
It's quiet.
All right.
Well, did Chandler Jones have a sarcastic... Did you see his tweet when there was one of those stories that Bjorn Werner learned football through Madden? And he retweeted it and said, good luck, rookie year. And it was almost like, boy, do you have something coming.
He's all thumbs.
But I don't know humor. If he was actually good-lucking him or if it was a sarcastic, boy, are you in
Ballmer
trouble.
Say something like
oh, why don't we
that?
Ask
oh, they all have over the
why
years.
Why don't we ask him at 2:30?
The guy we had like 5 years ago, Octung Baby.
Octung Baby.
I don't know who it was. I can't even think of his name. But a lot of these foreign-born guys talk about playing Madden. Do you remember who that
was? That's going to kill me now. You just killed me for the rest of the show.
You remember that, Fred? No. Just say no.
I absolutely
Oh, yeah. The big blonde guy?
I don't really. I remember we did a feature on him. We called it Octung Baby.
I say Daniel. I'm Ron Burgundy.
All right.
If you're a familiar reader of PFW, and remember the Octung feature in training camp a while ago.
I think it goes back to more than 5 years.
I think it was Bryant College, actually.
Oh, like 10.
I think it was at Bryant College.
That was a long time ago. 2001.
If you have the binders of each season, could you go look through them?
Larry says, please never miss Fred. Never miss the first draft show after the draft.
Shock that he reads that
the
one.
The show is okay, but it needs you to rise to the great show it could be.
I think.
Thank you, Larry.
You know what they needed? They needed someone to tell them the draft was okay, and
right.
you weren't there. They
oh,
were
you guys
worried.
Were negative.
Wait a minute.
No,
we all gave it a B.
We
all gave it a B.
Actually, and we said it exactly.
I'm not sure I gave it a B.
We said exactly.
B minus.
We might have gone C plus.
Exactly the truth. The three of us were higher on the draft than you were.
At the time.
Not
now.
At the time. Now, they fully expected
5 days
that
later.
on Tuesday to be different, and then you weren't there, and they panicked.
Okay.
But now he loves it.
But we all like the draft more than you did.
I like those three guys.
He thinks the two receivers are both going to contribute immediately.
This year.
That's immediately.
Yeah. I think there's a chance of that. I don't really think they have any options.
That's what I said.
I'd be stunned if both of them contribute. And I mean contribute, not just one catch. I mean like...
No, yeah.
They're significant games where they are parts of the
yeah.
offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be stunned.
Right.
I mean, first of all, one of them's due for a hammy that puts him on IR. So I'll knock one right out anyway.
Right. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hotline.
Devin's in North Carolina. Hey, Devin. Devin?
D-Mac.
Hey, it's Marvin.
Hey, Marvin.
Marvin.
I'm sorry. We have an idiot for a producer.
Verify. It says Devin.
I trust you, Fred.
All right, Marvin. Well, how you doing?
I'm doing good, bud.
Good.
I wanted to touch on... I think you, when you first came on there and you were talking about Bill's strategy, this is something that I've thought about for a long time, and I think this goes all the way back to 2001 when he put that team together with, 20-plus new players, most of them, as Andy refers to, Jags, off the scrap heap, guys and goes out and wins the Super Bowl. And now he thinks, well, I did that once. I can do it again. And
I actually don't think he believes that. I think he thought that that team wasn't very talented. I think he was as surprised as a lot of people were that that team went on the run it did and won a Super Bowl. And I think you saw that with the roster turnover and that it went through in the next couple of years. I think he probably thinks the teams he built after that were very good. But I don't think he's of the belief that I can do that anytime I want. I really don't. I also think we're putting too much stock into philosophy with him. I think he just makes a decision. I really do. And I just think he says that's the guy I want.
You know, the point about the Sonys and versus the Vizios.
Yep.
I mean, that's still part of it. You know, I mean, that's why, how many guys do we have that we're saying, oh, well, they would have been a second round if they hadn't had this.
Or right.
They would have been a first round. I mean, those are all bargain deals that he's trying to put together and plug them in and make them work.
Yeah, that's the part I agree with you is the value. He's always looking for value. Too much. And, too much value.
And I still think that stems from, like I said, going all the way back to 2001. That was not a high-dollar team. There weren't big-name players.
Wasn't the catchphrase last win, Kmart Blue Light Specials or Blue Light Free Agent Class or something? They always called it everywhere. That was kind of became the description of that group. You're right. He still does it. Value. Too much value.
I know. And it you know, you guys do a fabulous job with the draft preview magazine, and I really enjoy it. But, you know, I looked at that, and I looked at the draft history, and I think I counted from 2004 to 2009, we only have seven guys on the team from all those years, six years worth of.
I think there was that stretch from 06 to 08 that it was just abysmal, right?
You blame Pioli.
Well, no, whatever
I
the
mean, you go all
it was abysmal.
2004.
Period.
Vince is the only guy on the team from that draft.
Yeah,
and each year after that, I mean, it's just like one.
That's a long time ago, though. 2004.
Yeah,
that's
but
9 years.
That ought to be the core of your team right now. And I mean,
you should have a core of veterans. Nine-year veterans.
Core
be the
should
core
be
teams.
Like 10, 11, somewhere in
well,
there. Should
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about 07, 08, 09. I mean, how many?
Yeah.
Of those
no,
guys
there's no
there?
Question. Absolutely, Marvin. You're right about that. They missed. You know, the 07 draft, they got nothing out of the 07 draft. They got very little out of the 08 draft.
Thanks,
after Mayo. So, yeah, he's right. I mean, those are the drafts to me that should be the core of your team now. But you go back to 04.
I mean, that's a long time.
You know, you want a team of Vince's?
Right.
And, you know, at that stage, obviously, he's a great player. But of that age, I'm saying, you know, he was the first round pick. If you had a core of guys, four or five guys, 9 years, you know, that's a lot. And then you throw in, you know, the Bradys and, you know, guys that are even older than that. That's
now they all didn't have to be out of football within like 2 years like they were.
With the 04 draft?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I mean, Will Fork's great, and Ben Watson is very good. I mean, he's still bouncing around the league as a sought-after free agent. But
where is he now?
New Orleans?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
But Marquise Hill, obviously.
No.
But he did nothing.
But no, that was
he was this close to being cut out of football.
He wasn't on a projection that
right.
was.
That was a bad pick.
The only time he ever made a play was that sophomore JV game against some team, the
you're
Niners
right.
or something.
That was a bad pick.
Gus Scott?
Bad pick.
Nothing. Dexter Reed? Nothing. Cedric Cobbs? Nothing.
Wow, that was a worse draft than I remembered.
PK Sam? Haven't seen him since he covered the Super Bowl for a website.
Right.
And Christian Morton. I mean, besides the top two, they were all out of football within 3 years.
That's a bad draft. Marvin is right. I owe Marvin.
Now, I'm not saying they all should be stars now, but they were out of football pretty damn quickly. Yep. That's a bad draft.
That was a bad draft. I didn't realize that they had that bad of a draft.
And then 05.
05 was
much better
Mankins
draft.
And Hobbs and Kazier, right? What?
Why'd you stop?
And Jimmy.
Jimmy Sanders.
I thought like I stepped on your punchline or something and stole your lunch money the way you looked at me.
Left out, I mean. You say Kazier and you don't say Sanders. I mean, that's not fair.
Who was the – was there a – Mankins was obviously first round. Who was the second round? Did we
Hobbs.
Have a second round?
Or Hobbs was the next pick.
Two third rounds?
Two thirds, a four, and then Ryan Claridge, Matt Cassel, Andy Stokes.
So that was a good draft.
Have you heard the rumor, Fred, or reports, or that my guy James Sanders is – he was a free agent – is four-game suspension for
I did not hear
performance
that.
Enhancing?
For real?
I
did not hear that.
I Googled it, and I could find, like, Bleacher Report types items on it, but I couldn't find an actual, like, ESPN. But then I was wondering, you know, if no one really cares.
Well, speaking of that, there was an article in the...
It's not relevant enough.
Yeah, no, right? I think it's the Wisconsin paper, the Sentinel or something, just yesterday, quoting some people from the Packers, unnamed, that say more than half the league takes HGH. And
from the pack, like a player or...
Yeah,
a,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, and it's just until they test for it, people are going to still do it. And mm-hmm. the guy ended up saying they should just let us do it because it's really just putting it back into our body what our body already produces.
You
so.
Think that guy's doing it? They really should just let
yeah,
us do
right,
it.
Yeah, right, yeah. Clear my yeah. conscience.
Then there were a bunch of people on the record that says, you know, of course they don't do it, but, you
right.
know.
And you can't believe them.
Right.
Because there were plenty of guys on the congressional record right. who said they didn't do
right.
it.
But if that's the case, I'll bet you even more take HGH. I really
yeah.
do.
And I have no problem with it. Especially HGH, because it's really not about bigger, stronger, faster. It's more about recovery and health and
well, it,
that.
It does create more lean muscle mass.
Yeah, but it's not, and that's not all they're on. When they want to get bigger, stronger, faster, no. it's not the HGH that's doing
no,
it.
No, there's then you get it's into the
anabolics. Double cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But Jimmy, it was probably Adderall. He was probably just studying.
Oh, sure.
You know, he sees the end of his career coming, so maybe he's taking some college courses to, you know, bone back up on the business world and a little Adderall to get him through long nights of reading and studying. I you know, those tests are flawed.
By the way,
yeah.
Octung Baby.
Yes.
Congratulations to strippers. I don't know how he does it.
He probably just Googled Octung Baby in Patriots.com.
Daniel Benetka.
Yeah.
And I was right with the Daniel, right? He just wrote Benetka,
yeah.
but
no,
I'm
it's
pretty
Daniel
sure it's
Benetka.
Daniel Benetka.
What was he, a defensive end?
Fred has a blank face.
It was a defensive lineman. I don't know if he was
That's
inside
not the guy
or
I was
outside.
Thinking of.
You read the story.
I did.
Well, I hope.
You, matter of fact, you probably read it and then came out of your office into my office and wiped your eyes with it because it was one of those features that you always make fun of us for writing.
Right.
Or said, are there letters missing from this headline? It doesn't really make sense. What's H. Tung Hung?
Oh.
No, because you're a big, who's that?
What's that?
U2. You like U2,
what's that?
Right?
Who's
Bono?
That?
And isn't that one of their albums, Act Tongue Baby?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you'd know that.
Oh, okay. And you would know it because why? You're so worldly and
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
If it's not within the 495 belt, it doesn't exist for him.
I don't live within the 495 belt.
Yeah, you kind of do. That South Shore area.
South Coast.
That makes Andy more worldly than me because me, I'm just 128.
Mike writes in on webradio at patriots.com. He says, I'm a Patriots fan, and I think we had a good draft. We grabbed a lot of raw playmakers who can be developed by our great coaches. I love Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce. I also like Logan Ryan as a dime back. I love Buchanan
dime
also.
Dime back.
Oh.
Okay. I think he could be a great defensive end, and he could be the steal of the draft if he can make the team.
This is a very good email.
I think Jamie Collins could play an elephant type of role and play a variety of roles such as pass coverage linebacker and a third down edge rusher. So that's Mike's take on the draft.
I'm all for the versatility and the athleticism and the rawness. If they develop, I have no idea.
I haven't heard that word elephant since McGinnis left.
No.
Well, that's because no one knows what it means.
And I'm not really sure the Patriots employ one now. But I do agree with a lot of the points the emailer makes. I'm intrigued by the two seventh-round picks, too. I think, you know, everybody's fixating on Harmon.
Because you're
and,
writing about
and I don't get – well, yeah, that's part of it.
You I want to pretend people care about the guys you're writing about.
That's true. The Harmon pick, I'm with the consensus here. I don't really understand it. I've been reading up on him, and I'm probably even more confused now than I was when I had never heard of him. After reading about him, he ran a slow time and not really sure what Bill saw, but – I think the opposite is true with these two seventh-round picks. I think the measurables, especially with Buchanan, are a little bit better than seventh-round, quote-unquote, value. I think there's a chance. Now, like, listen, there's seventh-round picks, so there's a reason that they fell down there, that all the teams thought that they were seventh-round picks. Otherwise, someone would have picked them. So I'm a little intrigued by those two guys. But Buchanan has – he's a little small, but he has really, really off-the-charts athleticism and speed. The email might be right. He could be a guy if all of a sudden you put him in a niche and he hits it, he can rush the passer or do something. It's only like 250 pounds, so he's going to have to get bigger. But maybe you got something there. And the other kid, Bo Harness, by all accounts, I read a couple of
Eric,
features
what
on
is
him.
It?
this kid,
Bo Harnay.
He's just one of those football players, and he's not going to wow you with the physical. But
special teamer.
I would expect him to be a special teamer immediately, and then probably have the ability. Maybe, you know, our buddy Greg Bedard compared him to Tracy White. Sounds like he might have more of an ability to play different linebacker positions than Tracy White did if he had to.
Well, more likely, wouldn't it be a Dane Fletcher competition?
Yeah.
For roster spot, special teams versus
the only
backup.
Thing I don't know about those two guys is, and maybe I'm overrating on both sides here, I think if Fletcher is more of an option in the passing game, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure this kid would be, and so maybe they might look at that a little bit differently, but there's some versatility there to be sure. I like the 2 7th-round picks. I think they're intriguing athletes.
All right. Sean at Chicopee, Mass. says, hey, guys, first-time emailer, long-time listener. I heard one of you guys, I think Andy, say that wide receiver didn't get it here, and Brady blames the wide receivers. What are the chances with a whole new wide receiver core, Brady tries to gather these guys to try to acclimate them like Amendola, Boyce, Dobbs, and Jenkins-Jones, like Peyton Manning did with Wes? I hope he does with Brady's window closing. Not a lot of good punctuation.
Well, that's one thing. He has to develop a rapport with somebody. Otherwise, he can't throw to anybody. Because
very well put.
No, I'm being serious. If
not
he doesn't
go
develop
through the season with no completions,
and
he has to have a dependable guy,
he can't throw them all to the tight ends. Especially since, as Eric likes to point out, they probably won't be on the field at all for certain times. So, yeah. Now, we've seen him working out with Amendola, right? Who else was out
yeah.
there? Just Amendola?
T.O. Matt Cassel.
Anybody relevant?
No.
So, yeah, he's done that like Manning did with Welker. But I'm more concerned about the young guys. And they don't have a ton of time to do that because they're in rookie minicamp. And, you know, he'll be out here doing it with them on the OTA passing camp days. But he's going to have to do it. It's sort of like my Shane Vereen theory. They can't fall back on Danny Woodhead anymore. Shane Vereen is now the guy. Brady can't fall back. That's the one good thing. He can't fall back. I'm just going to throw to Welker because there's no Welker there. So now he's going to have to try to trust somebody. And maybe that'll lead to your thing where he'll give them all a chance and there'll be kind of complementary aspects and spread it around a little. Who knows?
All right. Colin in Pittstone, UK writes in, I'm a very long time listener, but haven't emailed for years. Remember Tom, the 4-year-old from England who sent MP3s?
Yes.
I'm his dad.
So how old is Tom now?
Well, I
probably
know.
Like 7 or 8, yeah. I would think.
Anyway, I had to email to plead with you not to leave the other three alone ever again. I listen on podcasts whilst driving to and from work and nearly crashed the car this morning as Andy brought up anal sex for discussion. Some of the greatest and funniest PFW quotes then followed. Andy, is a girl's butt better than a boy's butt? Eric, a butt has no gender. Andy, the gender is not the butthole? Paul, I don't really know.
Seriously. I was washing my hands of the whole thing.
Seriously, please don't leave them alone again. Really? That was what you
it
guys
was actually
about?
We were talking about
the Jason Collins situation.
And sick people who react to homosexual males as it's disgusting, it's dirty, it's this, and that your idol, Howard Stern, all these heterosexuals, the coolest thing in the world is if a girl does anal. Well, how is one butthole disgusting and anti-everything, and one is like, whoa, she does anal, that's awesome. Wow. Like, what's the difference?
That was the context.
I think there's more to it than that.
What? If you can explain it to me, explain
it. The person you're with.
But in the end, the disgusting part is still
end?
A dirty hole.
Well, I believe that.
In the end?
They're both dirty holes that are meant
yeah,
for
I don't
excreting
like
excrement.
I'm not into that. I'm not into the ass play.
Well, then how do you listen to Howard Stern? Because that's all he talks about.
It's hysterical. Howard Stern's a freaking joke.
Now, have you tried the ass play, Fred?
No. Are you just against giving or taking, or how does that go?
It's an exit.
Why don't you like the ass
that's
play,
what I.
Fred?
That's about the only thing I said. Right. It was exit only.
Are you a pitcher? Are you a catcher?
Let's see. So, yeah, I guess I can't leave you.
But it was actually a serious discussion.
Yes, it was.
Based upon a caller on EEI who literally went off talking about how disgusting and gross and unnatural and dirty homosexual men are.
We had a good show. We would we treated a topic seriously.
Right. So that was a serious anal sex discussion.
Yes.
Not a joking one.
Right.
Let's see. Chester's on the phone. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing great. How you doing out in Oregon?
I'm doing great, you know, and I got a couple things I want to hit on today. I want to talk first about these rookies making an impact. You know, I don't see anything until week six in terms of these guys making any sort of a splash. You know, just, you know, we might see a little bit of a flash from one of the guys on the short week with the Jets, but I'm not expecting much. And moreover, you know, to me, this draft was really a tribute to get some depth. And, you know, I think that the plan there was really for the next 2-3 years in terms of building some of that depth there. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, you know, amidst all the draft news, why isn't there more ado about LeGarrette Blount? You know, being an Oregon guy, I got to tell you, you know, this guy was a hard runner for the Ducks. And, you know, I know he's got a lot of problems, and it's going to be, you know, some time to see what happens there. But, you know, I've always had an affection for the power running game, and I'm really happy to see this guy in the mix. Now, how much stock should we put into this transaction?
Well, the thing is, and we all said it at the time, do the Patriots have trouble scoring on the goal line or getting first downs and short yardage? You know,
no.
Maybe not in the style that Blount would do it, but it doesn't seem to have been a need. And
yeah,
I think it was just like, you know, you're interested in Demps. Who do you got? All right, we'll take Blount. You know, and maybe he can contribute.
I'm not so sure, Fred. I think they really like him. I think Belichick likes his big bruising style running backs.
Let me give you my quick take on this. You know, number one, this guy had all the adversity in the world to deal with after that melee with the Boise State game. You know, he was the black sheep in Oregon. You know, and these guys, they really hold their best up high, regard having no pro football team here. Now, that being said, this guy was a class act in terms of getting back with the program, making his way back on the depth chart. And, you know, it showed a lot of people, you know, what this guy was made of in terms of humility. Now, I like that mentality in our locker room. And beyond that, I think we had a need in the balls department. We need a guy that was going to run with a sense of purpose, a guy that's going to stare the Baltimore, the Pittsburgh linebackers in the face and say, give me the damn rock for those 3 yards. We didn't see that in the playoffs, and I made that point that we didn't have balls out there, you know? And I think a guy like Blount is what we need. Now, we may not need him in terms of his talent or the depth chart or anything else, but, you know, for me, he fits the niche that we were missing, even when we lost law firm, and the guy's going to take the ball and run it without worrying about getting his ass knocked out. Mm-hmm. And I love Ridley, and I'm here to say that he's going to be the starter going into this year. I'm not here to debate that, but I like having a big body. I like having a guy that's kind of an a-hole in that position. And, you know, I think if anything, it's really going to turn the fire under a guy like Bolden to see what he's made of.
Okay.
But, you know, at least for the OTAs and for camp, I love this move. And you know, I really do think that we're sitting on a pot of gold if Belichick can work his magic and get this guy's head in the game. That's my 2 cents. Overall, I think this draft was a great move for the depth. But more than anything, I really like this Blount move, and I'm really surprised we're not talking more about it.
All right, Chester.
That's all I got today, fellas.
All right, well, we'll talk about it right now. What do you guys think? You agree with Chester?
Not total. I mean, I think he's in a battle for a roster spot with Bolden. I think one of those two guys makes the roster. You know, I just looked up because I wasn't sure what it was, but he did average 5 a carry in his 1,000-yard season. So it's not like it was one of those 1,000-yard seasons where
with
a
million
8
carries,
billion carry.
Right.
I mean, that's good. And then it was 4-2.
His first year, he was very
3-7.
Good.
Kind of fell out of favor, and now he's in New England. I'm not opposed to it. I don't think Brandon Bolden has a lock on a roster spot. I don't think he was God's gift to running backs, and I think it's good to have one of those guys. I think it's good to have a physical back. I think he's more powerful than Bolden, more physical, and if you think you need that in terms of an edge, an air about you, the balls that Chester's talking about, then, yeah, maybe he makes the roster. But I think he's in a battle for a roster spot. I don't think there's anything guaranteed here.
Yeah, I don't really see much of a difference. And I agree, if he's probably more talented than Bolden. I agree with that. So if he is the backup running back, I'm fine with that. If it's taking stuff away from Ridley, I'm not fine with that. I think Ridley's a better player. So I want Ridley to continue to play in that lead role.
And I think he will.
Oh, I
think
do too.
I think he will, but I think
I don't know. Jared,
is there a use for this guy like Sammy Morris, for example, or something like that? Or
yeah, backup running back.
Yeah, I think he does.
And maybe line up at fullback, and yeah, some of that, but
not a guarantee. But I would say better chance that he makes it than Bolden.
Plus Bolden got in trouble right once
last
year.
Well,
he had the
suspension.
And then Greg Bedard was kind of inferring that maybe he got in trouble again or something.
Ooh.
He was. I don't know if he was just speculating or he kind of knew something that he wasn't really going to report. So that could be at play here,
well,
too.
If that's the case, then
if they can't trust Bolden. Yeah.
And I didn't get all the specifics on this, but I had just poking around when we were doing some research on Saturday, he had some fumbling issues as well. I don't know how many.
Blount.
Yeah.
Blunt.
So I don't
blunt.
Know. I don't know
blunt.
How many fumbling
blunt.
Issues he blunt. Had, how many fumbles he had, but it wasn't just Doug Martin immediately. It was sort of a process, and he was relegated to the bench.
He's got a puncher's chance, though.
Okay.
I don't think Fred gets it.
Parker writes in.
You don't get it, do you?
He says,
do you get it?
What, puncher's chance? No.
He punched out a guy at Boise State.
You don't remember the post game where he drops the guy?
Problem. That's
we had
a long
that
time
problem.
Ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Pebble the J, says Parker.
We like Bucks who hit people. Talib, Blunt.
Greetings, gentlemen of PFW and the great
Blunt
philosopher Eric. Please let me know in advance if Eric is going to host the show so that I cannot download it.
Oh,
wow.
Be happy to.
That wasn't nice.
Don't want you listening.
You like that, Andy?
It was funny.
I didn't think it was very nice.
You're a pussy.
I'll email him next time. Don't worry.
I don't think that was very nice.
Bob, the late night courier guy, is a 4-time emailer, 2nd time read, if it is read.
Late night courier?
From New England, home of the 3-time champion football Patriots. Great work
wait,
on the coverage,
late
guys.
Late night courier?
Late night courier.
I bet you he's seen some things.
He delivers.
Like, what do you deliver late at night that, you know, any, you know that old saying, nothing good happens after midnight? Nothing good's delivered after midnight either.
Sounds like a penthouse forum waiting to happen.
Yes, or drugs or hardcore or, you know, something. Well, he's got stories to tell.
Great work on the draft coverage. I'm still behind due to the weekend podcast, so this is like Sunday morning for me show-wise. I like Paul's comments Saturday about the receiver selections. They are exactly right. We'll know more about who was a better pick after they've done something, but right now it's kind of like Patterson is behind door number one, Dobson behind door number
Jesus.
Two, and Boyce behind door number three. So we have both other doors. The Vikes have a 33% chance of being right. We have a 67% chance of being right. If you also figure in the chance of injury to one or more players, we have way better odds, no? Like 134. Anyway, he goes.
I'm
on.
Pretty sure I didn't say any of
but
that.
Seriously, the big question is who will be Tom Brady? Who will Tom Brady be willing to work with? It's really incumbent upon him to step up and play ball, so to speak. If he doesn't throw them the ball, it won't matter how good or bad they are. That still leaves me with a lot of concerns about the passing game. If the running backs show up for the full season and the D reverts back to some of the old philosophy from the early aughts, we might. Could win us some games. Schoolyard? Old school? Okay. Now that we... That would be fun to watch. Thanks for keeping us all informed in such an entertaining and intriguing manner. You must have attended U da Best. Oh.
If Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, and Shane Vereen are your top three receivers...
Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, Shane Vereen.
... Fill in the blank.
Who's your fourth?
No. Asking? Finish the sentence. How are you describing this team?
Probably having a hard time scoring. What happened to Amendola just out of?
He probably got hurt.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, if those three, the returning guys, if those are your top three receivers, you know, and it can be good. I mean, it could be Hernandez has 94 catches, Gronk has 82, and Vereen has 58. If those are your top three receivers,
I just think
what's going to happen? How will this unfold?
If you just had Gronk, I mean, I think Gronk is the greatest. You know that. You know what I think of Gronk. But I just think if you didn't have, you know, Welker and somebody else, you know, other people around, and you could just focus all your attention on him, I just think at some point it's like becomes impossible for him to catch 20 touchdown passes again.
So they'd win the division, right? Still.
Well, I mean, listen, I think
I mean, where are they going? I guess that's my question. Where are they going?
You have a
baseline.
So
the playoffs.
I think you're going to struggle
losing the first round.
I think you're going to struggle
first or second.
I think you're going to struggle in the playoffs against a defense that is capable of throwing bodies at him.
Yeah.
Unless you're
how's that any different?
No, you're still going to struggle on offense. It wouldn't matter what
no,
your defense does. You're going to still struggle on offense.
Yeah, but
I didn't say you're going to lose. I said you're going to struggle on offense.
Okay.
Now
you haven't weighed in. I'm interested, Fred, in your opinion.
If those three guys are your top receivers, I think they're in trouble.
Okay. In trouble being relative.
Yeah.
Relative to what?
Well, you're going to win the AFC East, you're going to be in the playoffs, and you're going to have a chance to win just like everybody else when you get in the playoffs. You're not going to be like some fringe team that doesn't belong in the playoffs.
But you get blowed off the field like they had a couple times there.
Probably not. I do think the defense is going to take a step, in the right direction, so that will keep them competitive. But I think, you know, from what I know about Vereen, you know, if he's your number three in terms of production, I'm not liking that.
Okay. And I do like Vereen.
I love him, but I do like
getting him as an element of the offense. But do you disagree with Fred and I?
No, that's why I'm worried about the weapons. When
I wouldn't
isn't.
Mind if he had 58 catches, as long as someone like Amendola or Dobson, or Donald Jones had 70, 80. You know,
well, I just want them to be part of the offense.
Have three guys with 80 catches, or you think they're going to be hurt? So
I think
he
meant one of those guys.
No, yeah. But I'm assuming Gronk and Hernandez are going to have in the ballpark of 80 catches.
Does it really matter? You know, does it matter where Brady's receptions come from?
Not to me. It does to some.
Does it make a difference?
It did to Tom Brady when he said we were too focused on the middle of the field. That was all the lead in to Brandon Lloyd.
Right.
We were too focused on the middle of the field. So apparently to him, there's some relevance.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. And no, I think that's why I asked the question.
I think to us it does, because we're saying that if Gronk and Hernandez and Vereen are the top receivers, then the team's going to struggle.
No, but if no one else is available to be an option, I mean, you're basically saying you have no wide receivers. I mean, I can't be so stubborn as to say it doesn't matter if the wide receivers don't catch any passes.
Well, they might catch 40.
They have to catch some.
They're just below those three.
Yeah, they have to be a part of it. I'm looking at Vereen. If he's the third leading receiver, that to me is a lot of small catches.
Yeah.
So if you have no wide receiver that catches as many passes, you know, and is productive, that's hard to overcome. When, you know, I think it's a little 2006 like, you know. Yeah, I mean, they were reasonably productive by the end of the year. They were able to score points. But Ben Watson didn't lead the team in receptions, but he was the best receiver on that team. Would you agree, Andy?
If there's portions of the field that the defense really doesn't
have to worry
about.
Ben Watson was kind of the number one option on that team, even though Caldwell had more catches. But Watson was the guy who made plays on that
team. He was Peter King's all-pro, Pro Bowl, great guy.
And he wasn't good enough to make plays.
Right.
So if you're all of a sudden looking for Shane Vereen to be – I don't know how many 80-yard touchdowns like he had against the Jets he's going to be able to get if he becomes like a 50-catch guy. You know, he's probably going to be like Kevin Faulk and hopefully be like Kevin Faulk in that – when he does catch him, he's getting big first downs and moving the chains and doing stuff like that. But if you don't have anything out of any of those guys that Eric mentioned, you need somebody. You need Amendola. You need one of that other three.
You need them to defend all parts of the field.
What if Dobson and Boyce each have like 20 catches, but each have like five touchdowns and a high yards per catch?
I'm looking. I think that could be good. I think that would be okay. And Boyce in particular, I think, could be a guy that. I think Dobson's probably going to have more receptions than Boyce, but I think Boyce is going to have more
plays
than Dobson. And I think that you could be very good if that happens, as long as it's not like, you know, 10-8. You know, if Dobson catches 30 or 40 passes and Boyce only catches 25 or 30, but Boyce is 25 or 30, he's averaging 16 and maybe has 3 or 4 or 5 touchdowns, like you said, I think he could be pretty good. That kid, Denario Alexander, last year had like 7 touchdowns on 30-something catches, right?
Yes. 7 out of 35.
I could see Boyce doing that. And if he does it with bombs, that opens everything up for the tight ends and for Amendola and
what if
Edelman.
He's on IR with a hammy?
Why must you be so negative?
You make me look like
Johnny Sunshine.
No, I'm asking questions. And I think when young receivers, it's legitimate to ask, what if he doesn't ever play?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs.
I mean, hamstrings, I understand your point, because I think that these young guys, sometimes they get in there, they're speed guys, and they want to get out there, and they're going 1,000 miles an hour all the time because they want to show, you know, I can run. They don't know run. I can run. Right. And all of a sudden, you pop a hammy.
And that ends your year. You're not going to be as good. Even if it recovers, you're not going to be as good. So I'm just saying that happens.
I just don't know why you have to assume that he's going to
No,
gonna
I'm
pop
asking, and I'm posing questions. And I think the passing offense, to me, is the most interesting aspect of this team. It's flipped. It used to be boring, and you knew what you were going to get, and you had to wonder what the defense was going to look like. Now I think the passing offense is very interesting because it's expected to be good, yet it looks nothing like what used to make it good.
So I think that's a good point.
You think that I put too much faith in sort of the system and Brady? You think I'm guilty?
No, and you think Brady stinks, so I don't know where you're going with that.
Listen, this is not a playoff game that we're preparing for right now.
That's going to be Paul's thing this year.
I'm trying to be balanced here.
Brady is now the Marty Schottenheimer of quarterbacks?
No. So I'm trying to be balanced here and say that I think that the track record there is such that I can't really envision – the Patriots' offense not being able to throw the ball efficiently. Right. I can't really envision that. And I understand Andy's point. He's looking at it from a really logical perspective. And
which is rare.
He's looking at the depth chart, and he's saying, I know what we've done, but how can we keep doing it with what
we
have?
There's a lot of what-ifs beyond.
And I look at it and say,
Brady's doing
Andy's,
it. How can
I know
we not?
Andy's right, but as long as Brady is here and Bill is here, how can they not be productive throwing the football? They haven't been.
And I'm trying to tell you how. Amendola
gets hurt. I think you'd have to go all
the
way
back. The rookies blow.
I really think you'd have to go all the way back to 2001 for the Patriots to not really have been overly productive throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
Even 2002, they didn't make the playoffs. Brady threw for over 4,000 yards, and that was sort of the turning of the corner, and he was no longer that system guy he could throw it to, and then that went to the next level in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
When he was sort of an efficient dink and dunk, and then all of a sudden they got Moss and Welker, and it was bombs away too, and he could throw for 50 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And it went to another level. But I can't remember a time where, no matter who they had on the field, that they couldn't throw the ball effectively. You got to go all the way back to 01.
But he's getting older.
I mean, do you
at some point he's going to start to take a little step back, and if that coincides with him not having any weapons that he's comfortable using and working
with.
Listen,
at some point that's going to happen. And
then they'll blame his age. Maybe it's not just his age. Maybe, well, you shouldn't have got rid of Wes Welker. You shouldn't have got rid of his weapons and put it all on his shoulders again.
It's going to be intriguing. I think you're absolutely right.
I think
right.
That's the story. I love the topic.
I think this, you know, beyond Gronkowski and Hernandez, there is no continuity.
And you can argue with the injuries to those guys that even they are not.
Right.
Because they aren't what Welker was, and that was always on the field.
Yeah.
They're not that. So really,
and we talk about it with Brady. You just mentioned, you know, at some point maybe the skills deteriorate a little bit, and you might think it's all that. Gronkowski, how does he respond? Even if he's on the field for 16 games, is he the same guy? You know, as he's sort of been hit, and you know he had the back stuff last year early, and he takes so many hits. And I'm not expecting the arm to be a problem.
Had a hip problem too last year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not expecting the arm to be a problem, and you know, assuming the infection is not.
Assuming they don't have to amputate.
Well, assuming the infection doesn't linger. I mean, assuming they get the infection cleared up, I don't think that he's going to lack strength in his arm during the course of the season
and not be able
to catch the ball. But maybe he's not the same guy physically.
Wow. Now who's the negative one?
As he continues,
he's got Gronk as a nobody.
No. Well, I was going to ask you that. I mean,
oh, this mother.
Is it arrogance?
It's that time of year, Fred.
Yeah.
Jane Seymour or whatever, going to tell me how to love.
I chuckled, and Beth goes, what are you laughing? I go, that commercial that always irritates Fred. Oh. And she stops laughing. She goes, I don't know why he gets so mad at that.
Stupid.
Who is she?
Scott in the UK says, hey, guys, including Eric, first of all, I'd like to say I've been insulted by Eric in your last first draft show. He called anyone in the UK losers for staying up and listening live. Nice one, douchebag.
Wait a minute. I think I said anybody who stayed up late was a loser.
I don't think he limited that to the UK.
On to a brighter note, I had to negotiate with my girlfriend about using her iPad so I could purchase the Patriots football daily. So I thought I'd describe each character on the show. I started with Fred, the biggest homer in the USA, who has the tightest tidiest man garden in the world. Next was Paul, likes to fight women in Toys R Us and can't work out if he prefers Diet Pepsi or Miller Lite. Andy was next. The only way he finds women attractive is if each breast fits snugly into his old football helmet. And Eric, from what I heard, is a 40-year-old virgin. Needless to say, I am now the newest owner of the app. Thanks for all you guys do, and keep up the great work. So he negotiated his way into using the iPad and downloading the app.
All those things convinced her to let him download the app?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. Or just to get him to shut up. It's only $20. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Good stuff. Alex from Philly, now that the draft is over, it's time to give out some grades. I'll start first with PFW. I give you guys an A.
Ooh.
Paul's zero to hot moments were great, although he was a little too positive for my liking.
I can't win.
Fred's management of the show was great, from his anger about the length of time of picks. We're coming into that great tip about Cynthia Escobar and everything in between, although an F-bomb would have been nice. Andy was on his game, mocking the experts on draft analysis. That epic rant about Kyle Long and those inappropriate nipple comments, it was classic. Andy Hart. Lastly, and certainly the least, Eric was by far the star of the show. From his douchiness with the announcement of the picks to his pretentious anger with fans for giving their reactions, even the disdain he showed when we picked yet another safety who should not have been drafted, he gave the fans exactly what we wanted. Great job, Eric, and I don't care what anyone else says. Never change, you bleeping a-hole. It was another great slate of draft shows, even though you guys were clearly running out of gas on day three and began checking out. I realized that when you guys had a 30-minute debate on some three-door mathematical problem, when PFW starts debating math over the draft, show's over. Now my thoughts on these picks, wow. I give Bill and company a C+. I love the positions that they drafted, but not in love with the players. They all have upside, and I hope they can contribute, but I may have to agree with Mr. Kraft. I don't see a starter among them.
So, the wide receiver would be the starter among them, I
think. Yeah.
Other than that, no.
It has to be.
Right. That is my one concern, that, like, Jenkins, that Brady could just fall in love. Oh, he's a sharp route runner. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. I mean, you can see how hard he works, and we go,
so funny.
Oh, no. Yeah. he fell in love with the stiff.
Even though Andy and I are on opposite ends of this one, I have to admit that I was answering the Ask PFWs yesterday, and it was the same kind of a question. It was about Jones and Jenkins, and you're going down what you think of Dobson and Boyce and then working Jones in, and I was like, well, Jenkins is more of a, you know, possession guy, he's a veteran and blah, 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 you know, supposedly very professional. I think that he'd probably have the longest odds. And that's exactly what popped into my head. Here's a guy who's known to always be where he's supposed to be. Doesn't do anything
flashy.
Takes
him a while to get there, but.
And, you know, I could just see Brady just saying, oh, this guy, he's like another tight end out there. I could just throw the ball to him.
And there goes the idea of he's forced to actually throw to Boyce
or
Dobson.
And there goes the idea of the extra added element.
Right.
Of athleticism to your offense. That's what I think is important for the playoffs. I'm not as worried about the regular season as Andy is, because I think that they'll just beat up
on
bad.
I'm not really worried about
I think they'll just beat up on bad teams. No, I'm talking about with the passing game. I think they'll just beat up on bad teams that won't be able to handle even Gronk and Hernandez if it turns out to be that. But I add in Amendola and Edelman, too. But it's the playoffs that I think you might need, depending on the matchup, somebody else.
Oh, you know, you certainly do.
You might need somebody, something else to get downfield, some other element to keep. And I think you need to establish that at some point in the regular season if you expect it to be an element in the playoffs.
Ransford writes in, or he calls himself Ranny from New York City, quite some time listener since our second loss to the Giants, first time emailer. I just couldn't take a second beating to the same team, especially living here in New York City in the middle of all the stupid gloating over the stupid championship rings they stole from us twice, not to mention the nightmare I have to wake up to, which is my big family of Giants fans. Anyway, ever since that second loss, I needed some kind of therapy, so I searched and discovered PFW in Progress and have been a regular listener to the podcast since. I enjoy your show very much. It helps me go through living in New York City and being a Patriots fan. And Andy, I was rolling when I saw your video bomb. You should do that more often. Now, what was that all about?
B-Lo and Jackie were shooting a Patriots Today stand-up in the press box, so I walked back and forth a couple times in the background and smiled at the game.
You actually smiled?
Although B-Lo's like, yeah, we covered some of it with B-roll, but we couldn't cover all of it. But I've gotten a lot of tweets and emails about it.
You're such a loser.
I really am.
Let's see. Owen in Dublin writes in to Fred, Paul, Eric, and Andy, as it's coming up to the one-year anniversary of the first time I started listening to your wonderful podcast, I thought I'd reflect on some of the things I've heard on your show over the past 12 months.
Oh, boy.
With this in mind, I've given a percentage breakdown of the content of the show, as I see it anyway. 30% Andy and or Fred belching into the mic. 15% Eldridge's biweekly call to say we need a 6-foot-plus outside threat or burner. 10% Eric telling perfectly pleasant callers to go to hell if they disagree with him or question his views. 10% Paul's sudden mood swings that would put a menopausal woman to shame. 10% Andy mocking Eric's 10-year dry spell with the ladies. 6% an incredibly camp-sounding man from Las Vegas who calls about gambling odds. 5% Fred making a mess of the introduction by either, one, forgetting to turn his mic on, or two, swearing. 5% Eric making a scoffing sound whenever someone says Belichick's a genius. 4% Eric's belief that a yogurt has more culture than the U.S. And how his art would be appreciated far more by the uber-sophisticated Europeans.
The ones that he called losers, by the way.
Right. 4% Fred purposely mispronouncing a name to annoy the others. And finally, 1%, Andy mocking a child whose dying wish was to announce a pick at the draft.
Never going
to
get rid of that, am I?
So you really think Fred does that on purpose, huh?
On paper, it shouldn't work. Actually, a lot of the time it doesn't. But your show has kept me entertained for the past year. So thank you, Fred, Paul, Eric, and Andy, for one of the best podcasts out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Owen.
You guys believe that Eric can palm a basketball?
No.
I don't either.
Not an NBA basketball.
Yes, an NBA basketball.
Now they're touching. This is awful.
Yeah, he's got about a quarter inch on
the ball. I have very small hands, though. You know what that means.
Yeah. Eric also claimed he had a strong grip, and we know why.
He can't even finish the sentence without laughing. I think he has a chance to pile a basketball.
His hands are the same size as mine, and I can't, so...
That doesn't mean anything.
It means you can't. You don't have a strong grip.
Exactly.
You don't have the G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip.
I like how you did that with your hands.
Not buying it. We got to bring in a basketball. This is one of our off-season challenges.
This is one of our challenges.
There's no way.
Now if Eric can pile a basketball, does that mean he beat Andy in another sport?
Yes.
Yes.
We got to bring one in. You got a real basketball?
An NBA basketball?
I think I do, yeah.
How does Kenny not have one? Mr. NBA.
Because he doesn't play.
He killed Kenny.
Yeah, but he's the biggest NBA fan I've ever met.
To watch.
Yeah.
Does he look like he plays a lot of basketball?
No, but usually fans buy paraphernalia.
He looks like he might have done some play-by-play in his day.
Now, are you talking about those rubber outdoor basketballs? Because I could palm one of those.
No, and... A basketball, just a regular
leather NBA basketball. Slippery.
When inflated to its proper.
I haven't played.
Soft,
I haven't played basketball since I was in prep school.
I'm
probably,
not sure
but
that
I mean,
any of the ones that my kids have are regulations.
So. Yeah, I don't have a regulation. Look,
I might have one.
I think I have one up in the attic.
My nephew may have given Will a regulation ball, and I'll see if it's in the garage. I'll check that out.
It has to be signed by Howard Stern.
Sorry.
Oh yeah.
Howard Stern.
Or David Stern.
You didn't
Howard
even
Stern.
Miss that.
I didn't get it. I had no idea.
David
what
Stern is the commissioner that signs the basketballs.
No, he actually wants one signed by Howard Stern. He can keep it.
And I'm to be led to believe that he does these things on purpose.
I can't do that one on purpose. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris
did not do that on purpose.
I did too. Chris with a TIAN is on the phone. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, yes. Nice picture, by the way.
Like that photo.
As I said, not safe for work.
She was completely nude?
Yeah.
Wow.
How much you pay for that? Is that extra to get a photo?
$20.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, $20. You can either use your phone or the camera that they have, and then they give you a Polaroid.
Are you allowed to touch her, like, besides just putting your arm around her?
You can just put your arm around her, and then she gave me an extended hug for about 4 seconds, and I've never been the same since.
You had one of those priapisms?
You
have to go to the hospital for them?
Just so people know what we're talking about, Christian went to some event where there was a porn star, and she was posing completely nude with people.
What's her name?
Lisa Ann.
She has big cans.
Completely
fit. No, those are real.
Sarah Palin and that whole thing. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Just kidding.
He's all irate.
I noticed when you touched her and the whole thing shifted way north.
And one of them went left. One of them went left and the other one went right.
Not saying
one's going north, the other one's going south. I know.
It's a good picture, though.
Yeah, I figured you'd get a kick out of that.
I'm proud of you for doing that instead
Andy
of listening to the
I told Andy it was there,
the
and he got mad at me for not letting him know that.
Yeah, well, I have a cube that's on a main...
Christian sent a nice picture. You should look at it. And I didn't tell him. He's out in the middle of the office.
A week ago, Robert Kraft stopped behind my cube while I was reading something and put his hand on my shoulder. If he had come by this week, he probably would have said, nice.
Yeah. I wouldn't have told you to do it if Robert Kraft was at your desk.
He sneaks up quickly. He's quiet for an old man.
Well, I mean, that's why I didn't put a disclaimer, because, A, I figured it was being opened up in the basement, and, no one looks in the dungeon, so... But, yeah, I should have put something. Sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks.
Nah, don't apologize.
No, I think that just the way you played it was perfect. I have my own office, so I didn't have to worry
about it. It was some good, dirty fun.
I thought, as far as the draft goes, we always talk about them needing guys, and they needed a linebacker who can... who can hopefully chase down backs and tight ends, but they also needed a pass rusher. I hope they got that in Collins. They needed a wide receiver. I hope this kid can make some plays. And my whole beef with it was, if you didn't think the draft was that good and you had limited amount of picks, and you really drafted guys that seem like they're more developmental, why not take what you had and try to move up and maybe get into the top 15 and get that one elite player?
Because you don't think there's an elite player.
So as far as they, like, you know, they said, you know, like the owner said that, you know, they didn't see anybody that could start for the most part, like what, like three or four guys?
Yeah, two or three, he said, could start. And it wasn't a deep draft.
And it wasn't a deep draft, but, you know, this always, for me, as long as Brady's here, it always comes back to maximizing his potential now. And with all due respect to the Kraft organization and the Patriot organization, I really don't care about value. I don't care that you're setting yourself up for, you know, that you're gonna, you know, next year, you know, or you know, and this is gonna, you know, we got them under control for 4 or 5 years. I haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. I want another one, and I want another one with Brady.
Well,
and if that's the selfish part of me, the selfish fan in me, so be it.
Well, it's not selfish. You know, you should always want to win a title.
I think they feel the same way. I don't think their thing was, we're picking these guys for 4 years from now. I think their thing was, there's just as good a chance that Cordarrelle Patterson is going to bust out as there is Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce. Using the door theory, Minnesota's got a 33% chance of hitting. We have a 66% chance. That's what I think. I don't think they think the talent of a guy like Patterson was that much further ahead in chances of success.
That's what it comes down to, and that's why I made the comment on draft day, the draft weekend, that it, to me, it's Patterson-Dobson. It's not Boyce, because it could have been Patterson and Boyce, too. They were going to probably take two receivers.
Right.
But they obviously thought that there wasn't really any difference, or even more so, they thought Dobson was better than Patterson. Because they had an opportunity to pick anybody they wanted at 29, and they chose to go down 23 spots. In my mind, thinking, we can get a receiver down there that's every bit as good as the best guy that's on the board right now.
And I kind of, you know, I hear what you're saying, but the thing that worries me is that when you have these reports that come out about Belichick, like, he has final say, we all know that, but if the scouting department has a grade on one guy and he just happens to take Lawrence Maroney because, well, he liked Lawrence Maroney. And no matter what they graded him, he liked him. Or, you know, maybe they had a higher grade on another safety the year they took Merriweather, but he just happened to like Merriweather because he could play the star and he could play safety and he could be multiple. That's the kind of thing that bothers me about it. And you know, I know these are obviously, you know, I'm not in the room and these are stories that you read, but when I read stuff like that and then you see them with the draft that, you know, doesn't really light your pants on fire, it kind of bothers me. That's all. And I hate when teams say, too, they don't draft for need. Of course they drafted for need.
Well, they do.
They needed. They did. They drafted for need. They needed two wide receivers. They drafted two wide receivers.
Yeah, that's they're lying when they say that.
Yeah, I know, and that's the other thing that kind of bothers me. But, you know, if, like you said, his record speaks for himself. He's got an excellent track record. When you compare him to other coaches and other GMs throughout the league, he's got an excellent track record. I just get frustrated that when, you know, draft time comes around, again, we still didn't have that high-end talent guy. Now, listen, this kid Collins, he had amazing stats on a team that was 0-12. 0-12. And he was a beast.
What was your record?
Collins?
What was the record?
Oh, what, they 0-12?
0-12.
He's mocking you. You're having a great call, by the way. Your delivery today,
absolutely.
Your up and down, phenomenal.
I got to tell you, that hug changed my life.
Now you ended with a great call.
I thought that picture changed your life, but okay.
All right.
Christian, thanks for the call.
The only thing I would question, and I agree with him, we've heard those rumblings that, you know, the scouts have this grade average out, and then Bill just comes in and says, well, you know, I'm taking this guy. My grade's higher on him.
Right. Why are you spending all that money for your scouting department?
But then the flip side could also be true. Did they have a low grade on Logan Mankins? And Bill said, you know what? I think he's going to be very good.
Yeah.
You know, did the hits, did he do it with?
Right.
So, you don't know. It goes both ways. He's in control, so you trust him good or bad. That's why I give him credit, good or bad. I don't say, well, the scouts blew the assessment on that one. No, Bill Belichick blew the assessment, just like I'm going to say Bill Belichick traded up to get Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower if it's successful.
And just like when the defense doesn't perform well overall, I say Bill Belichick isn't doing as good a job with the defense as he has in the past, because when they have these great defenses, Romeo Crennel wasn't the guy getting the credit for it. It was Bill Belichick.
Well, a little credit. Did get a head coaching job out of it.
No, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, I know.
Court of public opinion.
Theodore says, I was with Eric on the reporting thing, but now I feel like it was stupid to support him because on Tuesday's show, he let a barely sensical caller with terrible audio quality go on for about 5 minutes. Then, after the guy had finally wound down, Eric deceptively asked, was there anything else? I mean, my God, the only person in the world this bad at something they're doing is Paul at having hair.
That was hurtful.
It was our guy Tyrone in Delaware.
That was hurtful.
Fred, we missed you dearly, but let's face it, the phone calls have to end. It's fine if they're quick, but at this point, you're familiar with the same callers who have called about 1,000 times per offseason. The emails are so much more fun to listen to. They are quick and contain more interesting information than some pothead calling between classes from Arizona.
Wow. Sprinkled our offense.
Restore the show to greatness, Fred. You're our only hope. With that, let's go to the phone. Larry's in Worcester. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. I'm glad I'm on after that. Okay. I'm old as dirt, okay? And when I think of a draft, okay, the words that are burned into my brain are Parcells, who I don't particularly like for other reasons. But when he drafted Bledsoe, first things out of his mouth at the press conference was, he's not going to start these first games. I'm not going to throw him to the Wolves. Then, of course, as we all know, after the third game of the preseason, mm-hmm. it was obvious he was going to start the game, and a reporter, I can't remember who, Paul might, said, but you said you weren't going to throw him to the Wolves. And Parcells, in his great comeback, goes, that was till I realized he was one of the Wolves. And that's why he started him in the first games. And I think that when I think of the draft, that's how I look at all of it, is these guys, when they're coming out, I mean, when Bledsoe came out, there was a choice between two quarterbacks, and it wasn't 5% mm-hmm. between them who was going to get drafted. And the other guy never did anything, and he was drafted number two.
Right. Yeah.
He had a long career for doing nothing.
Bill Walsh actually was one that was on record as saying he would have taken Meyer.
Yeah. I mean,
so it was not a no-brainer. It was just like Manning and Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf.
Yeah. Right.
That was a good debate.
And I see that. And now when you get to second rounds and third rounds and fourth rounds and fifth rounds, like this draft, I was really pleased with. But until these guys start smashing heads with other guys, you're not going to know. But I like the 2 7th rounds. I mean, I thought I was surprised they got them where they got them, but that safety should have been the seventh. I mean, you can pop this around and swip them, put them in different locations all through the draft. And that's how I see it. I looked at it. I think it was a pretty good draft. I think it was a B draft.
We'll see.
I'm with you, Larry.
I think it's certainly got potential. We'll see.
Harmon was the only pick that I didn't understand.
Same with me.
I liked the other guys.
Yeah.
And Andy, sometime in July when it's really quiet, I have a friend who happens to be ACDC and we'll talk.
You wondered about
how they did it.
Okay.
In the other show. So when it's quiet sometime and there's nothing going on, give a call in.
Okay. Well, Andy will be all over that.
Yes. Andy is scared to death.
I don't work
right now.
July often, but.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Zach feels the need to email us.
That was the rest of that.
Zach feels it very important to email us and tell us he just bought an iPad and the first thing he did was download hardcore porn.
Oh.
So
I was going with Patriots football.
I hope the second thing was
daily.
Patriots football daily. But
now, do iPads get ruined by porn like.
No. With the viruses and all that
stuff?
Yeah,
like computers and stuff.
I don't think so.
They're not as susceptible to that.
No.
Hardly any Mac products are.
How about history?
What?
Can you clean the history?
Is your history ever cleared?
Jeff writes in. He says, hey, guys, love the show. I hope Fred gets a chance to read this on air because it is my first email and my first dream about the show. Basically, this is how I know I've been listening way too long. So my dream started in the studio. I got a chance to sit in on a live taping of the show. The talk was about the front page of the next issue of PFW. Andy threw out the idea that the front cover should be a small picture of Gillette Stadium stretched out to fit the page with the title Home Stretch across the top. It was basically referring to how the team had a couple of home games coming up on the schedule. Fred turned to him, looked straight into his eyes, and said, "That's the dumbest thing to come out of your big fat head ever." Then Fred swung back to the mic and said, "Well, that will do it for this edition of PFW." After the show ended, Paul, Andy, and I left to go to get lunch. As we were walking around to find a place to eat, plausible. Paul received a text. It was from some guy that was a huge fan of PFW. He told Paul if we were hungry, we should come meet him and his friends at a shoe store nearby. When we arrived, we were shocked to see him and his friends were sitting around eating bar food and downing beers right in the store. The guy welcomed us to sit down and even set up three chairs so we could join. Not surprisingly, Andy didn't sit. He just stood in the corner playing with his phone. Paul engaged with the guy with a little small talk. Then after a few moments, Andy mouthed, "Let's go." We swiftly got up and ran for the door. When we finally arrived at a restaurant, Andy started complaining. "How the hell was I supposed to eat in that place? I'm a fantastic radio personality. This is why we don't have cameras in the studio." Then the waiter placed a plate of mashed potatoes in front of Paul. Paul turned to him and asked with tone, "How do you expect me to eat this without any utensil?" The waiter turned to a waitress nearby and asked her if I could get Paul a fork and spoon, never apologizing. So Paul gets upset. He dunks his knife into the potatoes, takes it out, licks it, and slams it down on the table. The end.
You are sick, my friend.
That's bad.
Thanks, guys, for all you do in keeping me entertained day and night. Also, I would like to hear your opinion on the new Google glasses. Could you ever envision the NFL letting players wear such a device? Maybe you could add the extra in-stadium experience, drawing more fans to watch the game live.
What do you know about that, Freddie?
Google Glass, I mean, I know it's, you know, these glasses that you can see stuff out of the corner of your eye and stuff. It would be cool, like, if you could do that safely so players could see the play, and so you could have nonverbal communication. You could just send in the play, and the players could see it. That would be kind of cool.
Put it on their shields.
Yeah.
That they wear their visors.
That would be kind of neat.
Someday you'll have stuff like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't military has some of that stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Will the game be better or worse, Andy?
With
that stuff.
Worse, probably.
The over-sophistication?
Yeah. It's already gone in that direction. Just play. Just hit.
That's kind of how
Stop
I feel.
Thinking. Just hit people.
So much specialization.
Are we allowed to talk about this on the air?
What did I do? Hold on.
Your experience from last night, we talk about a lot about head injuries.
Yeah, we had my son's Little League game last night, 8 years old. Kid on our team got hit with a pitch up around the shoulder. Not quite sure exactly where it ended up hitting him after. It may have deflected off his shoulder, maybe caught him the base of the neck. Certainly not in the helmet, under the helmet. Long story short, he ends up staying up because you don't get a base, there's no walking. A couple of pitches later, he gets a hit. Runs to first. Next guy gets a hit. He runs to second. All of a sudden, he runs off the field from second base, goes over to his parents, says he doesn't feel good, vomits on the sideline. They take him to the hospital. He had a concussion.
Oh, my God. Getting hit in the neck.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure he got hit in the neck. I think it was more like the back of the shoulder. And he definitely turned his body. It hit him, you know, up high, but it may have hit him in the neck. I'm not positive.
It could have also been the sudden movement of the head.
Yeah, right. The doctor said he definitely had a concussion. He gave him a neurological exam. CT scan came back negative. But they kept him overnight and no school the rest of the week. For the time being, you know, for today.
In a dark room?
No TV, no reading, no nothing. They want to play it ultra safe. And they said at least 2 weeks before he can go back to baseball activities. I don't think he'll be returning to baseball activities at all based on talking to the parents, but just really interesting. I mean, and this is just an 8-year-old kid couldn't have been throwing the ball more than say 25 miles an hour.
Right.
I mean, just
and with a helmet on.
I think.
Yeah, and he didn't really get hit in the head.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, even though I play one on this show, but I would say that they need to look at some other things that might be going on there. This might be something else that this just kind of you know.
Aggravated something else.
Yeah.
Now, the father didn't whack him when he came over and ran off second base.
No,
did he?
and we do. It is
stop being. Such
it is
a fancy.
It is a family that we know pretty well personally, and just a strange situation. We, you know, Beth actually talked to the parents this morning, and that's when they got the update on the CT scan and stuff like that. But it was scary. You know, kid just runs off the field, and all of a sudden he started vomiting.
I blame it on coaching. Oh. Is he on your team?
Yeah. He's one of my players.
Starts with the coach.
And I, you know, listen, we had a roster of 15, and I was looking for a way to sort of get this down to more workable 11 or 12, you know. But, yeah, clearly I don't think we're going to see him play again this year. Yeah. And like I said,
he's how old?
Just lob,
like
8 years
eight
old.
8 years old?
Lobbing a baseball. And it did not hit him in the helmet.
See, the funny thing is, like 20 years ago, parents would have just taken him home. He's sick, whatever. Like, you wouldn't even have thought, wow, we got to go get a CT scan. And get like,
and
did you eat bad fries or something?
You know, the mother's good friends with Beth, so obviously she knew that Beth had at least some medical background. So she ran over and Beth said, you know, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to take him in just to get a check, a neurological check. I'm not positive how the whole thing unfolded. I just maybe... Hopefully, it turns out they're being a little bit overly cautious, and maybe he just had some sort of virus, and that's what caused the vomiting. But they said, no uncertain terms, that he did suffer a concussion.
Yeah, but they can't say that in no uncertain terms. It's not really like...
No, I'm saying they said they told the
No,
the
I know, but the doctor can't.
A concussion.
You can't say that. They have these tests, but they don't have like a... It's not a blood test. Oh, he had a concussion.
Right.
Now, remember, there was the guy that
X-ray.
Said they were
can't
researching.
Can't take an x-ray and say,
right.
Oh, broken
it's
bone.
Broken. It's right there. See, that's it. I mean, it's all still sort of vague.
All right. It's a good-looking pizza.
That's vague, but there's nothing vague about
it. You might turn the mic on.
there's nothing vague about our food coming. So let's take a break. It's we've been going a long time without a break. Let's take one. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the ticket you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
PFW in progress, 508-298-0398, or web radio at patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Thanks for lunch, Rich. Rich, who was a big fan of the show in wrestling, sent us
lunch
today.
I'm guessing we have a lot of those.
Yeah.
I think there's a similarity in the fan basis.
Of our show in wrestling?
Wrestling? Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. But thanks so much for
You're a big fan of wrestling, Andy.
Not big. I like wrestling.
Thanks so much for the lunch, Rich. It was really appreciated.
I could see myself getting into wrestling in like 4 or 5 years if my son gets into it. I could see us watching like Raw.
My dad took me to wrestling at the Cape Cod Coliseum. The Wolfman was there. Let's see. Haystacks Calhoun. Andre the Giant.
I've seen I saw Haystacks Calhoun in person once at the Garden.
Yeah.
Bruno Sammartino, Chief J. Strongbow.
Sure.
I've been to a number of wrestling events.
Larry the Axe Henning.
Was when I was, you know, a teenager, borderline adult, but.
I put it on my credit card, but what are you going to say about it?
Yemi from Texas writes in at webradio at pages.com. He said, did you guys listen to Tom Curran on Pro Football Talk yesterday?
Nope.
He and Florio.
Nor should you. Don't listen to idiots.
Wow. Oh, boy. He and Florio were talking about
Florio,
the draft.
Florio, not Curran. Well.
Where they were talking about the draft. Curran said Collins coming in may be a sign that Spikes is not here for the long term. He also said that Spikes plays to his own drum and likes to do his own thing on the field, which the coaches don't like. Has the character assassination of Spikes begun? We know the Patriots' MO when players are on the way out.
I think that's a very plausible reasoning. We talked about it, I think, draft weekend, the possibility to move Mayo in the middle and have Hightower and Collins as your outside linebackers. I think there's reason to believe that. Spikes is coming up to the end of his contract. He's had a number of issues that all of us have wondered, do the Patriots really like dealing with this? Is the value of him worth maybe the headaches and the... Now, in terms of on-field freelancing, I don't know how much of that he does. I think he's actually been pretty good when he has stayed on the field at various times and stayed within the role, which is him moving forward sort of tackle to tackle and blowing things up at the line of scrimmage and being physical.
What's that now?
Right? I mean,
Yeah, any
do you
chance,
think he freelances
chance,
all the time?
I wouldn't know. I think to speak to the emailer's point, that would be something that, to me, would have to be told to a reporter.
Oh, sir.
Because I don't think a reporter could go out and say, that guy's just freelancing. He's not running. How do you know? How do you know what the defense is? So to the emailer's point, that might be a, if it's true, it might be a sort of step one in the character assassination.
But with Spikes, wasn't the scouting report in him coming in that, you know, he makes up for his lack of speed by his instincts?
Yes.
And if that's the case, you kind of have to go through those growing pains with him.
Well, no,
but
no,
instincts,
no, no, no.
Instincts aren't freelancing. Instincts are he's not doing it the way that they want him to do it, but he's getting there. They right. want him to run the defense the way they're calling it. They don't right. want him to just do whatever he wants. In other words, if you're asked to take on a block or something like that, they have a style that they want you to do, and maybe that's not what he likes to do. He likes it this way better because right. he has more success.
I think but there's definitely him, that. Bill talked
to,
about that.
Right. If they're telling him to drop into coverage and, you know, he says, well, no, my instincts tell me to go out yeah. in the flat, no, that, right. that's not what they want.
Or, you know, your responsibility on runs away is the backside B-gap, and you blow up the play in the front side B-gap, that's great. It looks like on the highlight film you made a play. If the guy ever cuts it back, you just gave up a 40-yard touchdown because you had responsibility of backside, that kind of stuff. It looks really good. Don't ever do it again. Right? From Major League.
Well, like the
what do you think
Parcells
of
said to Lawrence Taylor, I don't even think that we have what you did in the playbook, and he said right. we should put it in.
Yeah, but Brandon Spikes isn't Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, there are certain guys, and that was sort of the discussion when he came. Remember, is it worth it? How far do you go allowing a guy to use his style and his instincts and whatever versus
Bill
okay.
And Bill talked about
we've
that
we've even
pretty
talked
openly.
About it with running backs, you know, the ball carrier, you know, the guys that only carry in the right hand. That's all fine and dandy when you're turning the corner and you're running for 40 yards downfield. That time when you're running left and a guy blows you up and you fumble and we lose the game because you fumbled.
Right.
Now we need to talk about whether you're going to be allowed to carry it in your right hand all the time. As long as it works, okay, we're going with
right.
it. As soon as you cost us something, then we're going to talk.
You think there's a chance, you know, just in your whole Spikes leave scenario that Hightower comes in? And maybe they keep Mayo and Collins.
I mean, yeah. I guess, but
that makes sense.
So that was a terrible pick then, because you drafted him because he could do all these things, and apparently you're saying he can't do any of them.
Well, wait a minute.
He was supposed to be he could cover, he could rush the passer, he could put his hand in the dirt. Those are all things you equate with playing on the outside, versatile things on the outside. That's not what you do as a stand-up middle linebacker in a 4-3. Sorry.
Oh, no, but if he becomes your middle linebacker,
but isn't that kind of what we
wah,
did?
Wah, wah.
But isn't that what we did with Mayo too? He was a versatile guy that could do a lot of different
oh,
things.
Oh, not like that. No,
he
was like a pure off the line linebacker. Hightower, Paul. He sort of spanned the gap between on the line and off the line.
You're pathetic. You really are.
Cody in West Virginia, guys, I'm really rooting for our rookie receivers to pan out, especially Dobson. I've grown up very close to him, and my dad even has some game film of my brother playing his midget football team. He's a talented guy.
There's teams of just midgets?
He's a talented guy and an extremely hard worker.
They
so
run
I
marathons.
Know,
they play football.
They prefer little people.
They prefer dwarfs, I believe. That was the term used in all the Boston Globe stories about the midgets who beat me in the marathon.
He's a talented guy and an extremely hard worker, so I know he'll give it his all for the team. Boyce is a guy I didn't know much about before the draft, but once I watch his game film, I notice that he's a talented route runner who definitely has some speed, which will help him play either outside or the slot. Great show as always, guys, and please convince me this draft was one that will help bring back another Super Bowl for the Patriots.
Well, Fred, do you think Boyce could be our version of Victor Cruz? Big play, slot receiver, fast guy, get down the field. Because you like Victor Cruz. You wanted him.
Right.
You were all in on him.
Yep.
And this draft is a success, by the way, if you get Victor Cruz in the fourth round.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, yeah, it is. But I'm not sure he could do that. That's asking a lot.
And he did have, you know, 90-yard catches in two of his three seasons. The other
yeah.
season, a 70-yard catch,
well,
high yards
well,
per catch.
I mean, what I know is his speed, but is he that kind of guy who can be flexible in terms of his route running?
Oh, most people believe he's going to be a slot receiver.
Really?
That he has some versatility to play on the outside, but most people in pre-draft said he projected as a slot receiver
well,
in the NFL.
I mean, if he can combine that speed with precise route
running. There's not a lot of 4-3 slot receivers.
Yeah.
That's a rarity.
You know, but if he can combine the speed with precise route running, then yeah, he could.
Well, we know to play here, he's going to have to combine something with precise route running.
Right.
Or he won't play here.
Right.
So the precise route running comes with wherever he lines up if he's on the field.
Right.
That's a given.
Well, if he can do it, That'd be great.
But you don't think he can?
I just, that's, my expectations don't go that high.
Why?
Why don't you be have a little positive thinking?
Well,
reach for the stars.
I mean, I just...
And if you missed, at least you'll land on the moon. What is it? Is that...
I'm thinking, I'm hoping more Amendola is that guy inside, you know. And
shoot for the moon, and if you miss, at least you're among the stars.
Right, yeah, that.
No, you shoot for the stars.
No, right? You shoot for the
stars
moon.
Stars are further away than the moon.
No, no, no. You shoot for the moon, and even if you... That's the expression. Shoot
yeah,
for the moon, and if you miss,
dumb.
You're
among
the stars.
Well, I guess if you shoot past it, you would be among the stars. But if you come up short, then you're right, Fred. There's no stars around you.
Right.
Because the closest star is the sun.
Right. That's 93 million miles.
This is a PFW discussion.
Well,
right here.
He's right. It should be shoot for the stars, and if you miss, at least you're on the moon.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I'm with you, Fred. The closest star is the sun, so you're not among the stars until you
but
at
really,
least get to the sun.
But really, no matter where you are in space, you know, the closest star is billions of miles away. So
yeah.
Where we are now, we're as close to stars as anywhere else.
No, that's the dumbest thing you've ever
they're
said.
They're not clumped together.
If I'm on the surface of the sun, if I'm right there, then the closest star is burning my ass.
Well, then you're on a star.
So you're not always 2 billion miles away.
Well,
that is the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Well, if you're on a star, obviously.
What did you say to me in the dream? Because I'm returning that in real life.
Yeah, but there's no stars that are like close to each other. You know?
How do you know that?
He said.
I
to
believe you,
you
were called fathead.
Yeah,
in the
that's
dream.
The dumbest thing that's ever come out of your mouth, fathead.
That's the dumbest thing that's
or
ever come
out
of your
fat
mouth, fat shoulders.
Well, we'll get emails on this, I'm sure.
You're not all. If you're near a star, you're not 2 billion miles away from the star.
No, if you're near one star, obviously. But
so there are no stars that are closer.
You're never near a lot of stars.
How do
you
know that? When did you become an expert on the depths of the galaxy?
They don't exist close. To
Neil deGrasse Tyson over here.
No, but, I mean. I don't know whether you're right or wrong, but I don't think you know whether you're right or wrong either.
Well, I'm sure we have, you know, somebody who is an expert.
Did you hear that they're looking for somebody to do a one-way mission in space?
I did hear that.
Who
was
they?
It was
to
Mars, right?
People
NASA?
Who, well, I don't know how it's all broken down now because it's privately driven but funded. But yeah, they're
Why
looking
Why don't we just treat Mars like Australia and send all our criminals there?
Because I think they want somebody they can count on.
Well, they can count on them. There's nothing to steal up there.
Would you do it?
What? Would I do it? No. Not one way.
That's the
opportunity. Now, if there was something more like...
It's not really an opportunity if you can't come
Well, on. You're going down in history, and you're going to have an experience of a lifetime. It's
no,
going to be the
now,
last experience
now,
that's of time. My
if,
lifetime.
If they told me that we know for a fact that in this far, far off planet there's life, and we have this way now putting you to sleep, and you'll wake up in 20 years and be there... I would consider that.
So you wouldn't take a chance if they said you and
to
Nikki...
To Mars, there's nothing there. I mean, it's not worth, you know, having a one-way trip to Mars.
Well, you're getting a little older. I mean, you're near the end of the tunnel. Would you and Nikki... Because I thought I heard they were looking actually for a couple. To
sure.
To keep each other company.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Boy. Does it have to be my wife?
But a bump.
Poor
Sorry. Yeah, like I didn't outkick my coverage.
I think it'd be cool. I mean, I wouldn't do it either, but I thought you were a little more daring. And
well, if it was more of a prospect of finding out answers to questions.
Well, you're going to answer some questions. What it's like to be in space, what it's like to look at Earth from space, what it's like
we
to...
We know that.
To, you don't. You've seen pictures.
Right.
But I'm saying you're actually
no,
living it.
I
there would be plenty
yeah.
of experiences that
That's
you'd
not
have.
That's not enough for a one-way trip.
Not enough. Not even close.
I'd do a trip that would risk my life. But I wouldn't do a one-way trip.
Such
would,
as?
Wait a minute. You would do a trip that would risk your life. You like, know that you're risking your life.
Well, I think if you go up in space, you're risking your life, right?
Well, what else? What, did you
know,
you have some,
I suppose. But
something
I,
else? Like what
well,
other
like
kind?
If they, you know, I would say like landing on the moon, they had never done that before. Mm. So the first guys that did it, I
yeah,
mean,
pretty brave.
It was based on math.
Right.
You know, in physics. And
hoping
yeah,
they could get
yeah,
home.
You're right.
So
you're right.
But now that they've done it, okay, we've done it once, so it becomes yeah. less and less of risk every time you do it.
Right.
So I would do something that had never done before.
So if you had the money, would you buy on one of these commercial space flights that are going to start in the next year or so?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
But what's the payoff?
You don't land anywhere. You just
like
go
you
up.
Said, seeing Earth from space and
not
being
me.
Out of our atmosphere and all that stuff.
I don't have much interest in that.
I don't think my Dramamine would work.
So
I just find it interesting.
It is interesting.
I find that the direction that space travel and exploration is going very interesting as it's become sort of privatized. And just the idea that somebody's going to get in a thing
well,
and just be gone.
And there's going to be a lot of deaths.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
No doubt.
And that's
you
fine.
Know, yeah.
I mean, that's part of the process. And you get people willing to, as you said,
problem.
We do have a pop. But as you said, these are people that are going to willingly risk their lives for betterment, knowledge, future. But there's a difference between risking and just getting in a plane you know isn't coming back.
Right.
That. But I don't know. I thought you would do it.
No. Not do it. Not to Mars. I mean, that's not exciting enough.
See, that's the part of this that I find fascinating.
No one's ever been there, Fred.
Evidently, there's a planet or two that Fred would be interested in going to.
It's just, yeah, what are those?
Mars doesn't live up to his standards.
We know
that's
enough about
Pluto,
Mars.
Pluto's not even a planet.
No, not in our solar system.
It wouldn't be anything in our solar system. I'm talking about this kind of thing where, you know, they
something
have...
Earth-like.
Yeah,
something Earth-like.
I just envisioned him doing it and saying, hey, Andy, there's no stars near anything, you a-hole.
You know, we
peace
have,
out.
You know,
proved you wrong.
Showed you.
We have some communication.
Now I'm stuck here.
We have some form of communication where we've been invited to go somewhere.
Okay. So that's never going to happen.
Kind of self-service, you think.
Not in our lifetime. Well,
how do you know?
We don't have the technology now to do it.
How do you know? How do you know the government hasn't already done it and they're living among
us? Well, I don't know, but I'm guessing. I'm guessing we don't have the technology yet to do it.
Would explain Chris Ferreira.
But maybe whoever...
But maybe
this communication gives us the technology explains how we should do it. And then
it would be known as the Kirchian principle.
You know, there's a book by Carl Sagan that Jodie Foster, they made a movie out
Tyler's
of it.
Tyler's dad?
Contact?
Contact. And
oh, I saw that movie.
You know
whoever these other people were gave us the technology to be able to go communicate with them.
No, but maybe you'd be giving this to us.
Just so you know.
By this journey.
We had some callers and it's starting to drop like flies.
Yeah, but people don't care because they hate callers.
Well, let's go to one remaining. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Good. We got your two receivers. Well, not your two receivers. We've got two receivers.
Exactly. I did predict that. But while we're talking about the receivers, I had a little question about them. Let's say how to phrase this. Like my quality, when I'm valuing a receiver, I kind of look at, let's say, Patterson and Hunter, so to speak. Patterson, I thought, took a very bad football team and put him on their back whenever he needed him. They didn't win the game, probably. But still with these aspects, he could put up points through kickoff returns, punt returns. He would add as a receiver versus, like, Justin Hunter, who you all know I strongly dislike. I think I looked up the fact that he had two touchdowns in big SEC games. So you having your show-out games against Troy, Vanderbilt, Missouri, stuff like that really isn't impressive to me. So really, I wanted to know, since I don't know too much about Dobson, how did he perform in so-called the bigger games? I guess it's the Conference USA, I think. And also that, if you all think that Leon Washington won't make the team, is Boyce good as far as kickoff returns, anything like that? Did he do any of that in college?
Cause nope.
I think he might be able to.
Nope. I think he had like
and
three.
Washington is making the team.
I think there's a good chance that Washington's going to make the team.
He makes the team, and he's your starting kickoff returner.
He got some money, didn't he? Didn't he get some guaranteed money?
And as far as
this thing on,
well, how's Dobson?
Dobson, well, his best year was numbers wise. I guess if you want to, you know, talk about touchdowns, was his junior year. He had 12, and he had previous years he had like 5 or 4, and then he had 3 in his senior season. He had more catches, more yards, a little bit. But he didn't have as many opportunities, and I was just talking to his position coach this morning about that particular subject, Melvin, and he said it was kind of a combination of he saw more coverages, more double teams, tighter coverages because of the big season he had in his junior year, and also he was pretty honest about this, was that he and the quarterback just kind of missed each other a couple of times. You know, one guy read one thing, one read the other. There were a couple of throws that got away from him, or that Dobson just would rather have had back, is how he put it. So I think it's a little hit or miss when it comes to big plays and big time. I mean, he has that highlight catch against East Carolina, which happened in his junior year. But I think overall, it doesn't jump off the page, the stuff that he's done in big games.
Big games. Mm. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, that's the only thing I see.
All right. Thanks, Melvin.
Leon Washington only got a $360,000 signing bonus, so certainly not something that's going to keep him on the roster.
Will says I'm wrong.
I agree.
Some solar systems have several stars that actually orbit each other
over
extremely small distances relative to the context of the universe.
Booyah!
Okay.
Relative to the context of the universe.
Andy
that could still
kicks
be.
Ass.
Could be millions.
Andy kicks ass.
Andy's right again.
I was just looking at, we were talking during the break about the Falcons getting a new stadium. I was just looking up the, you know, the artist renderings and stuff. This, the seat thing is foolish to me.
Unless the women use it like they used it in Howard Stern. You have a lot of happy women. Maybe that's it, Fred. They're trying to get women to the Falcons games.
Yeah.
They'll play a little bass in the seat. And
vibrating seats.
Yeah, that was kind of silly.
To try to mimic the
It's an idea. It's not a...
No, but I just, like, I don't really care for it.
Another idea they had was a 100-yard bar so that no matter where you are, you could see the game at the bar.
Wow.
And then they had the circle video boards, which kind of was weird because it seemed like a lot of people were sitting behind them.
Yeah, the views of some of the video boards and the renderings look weird to me.
I like the Pantheon look.
I like that.
The Oculus in the roof.
That was cool.
Yeah, it has a little bit of a feel of Arizona to it from the outside, a little spaceshipy, little you don't really know if you love it or don't love
it. Right.
So I'm all for trying. I like the idea that it certainly looks like they're not going to go cheap, that they're going the Dallas route where they're going all in on technology and new things.
Well,
and
you got to.
It's pretty unique.
Dan says, you guys are Renaissance men. Whether it's black holes, buttholes, or a-holes, PFW in progress has you covered.
Well, sometimes those are all in one.
Let's see.
I was right. Did you catch it, Paul, now that you're back from your pee-pee break?
You couldn't wait 10 minutes?
No.
When he's got to go, he's got to go, right now.
Scott wants to know, can we project if teams are thinking about going back to the 3-4 based on a glut of linebackers on the roster at this point? The other thought I had was when Spikes goes, they kick Hightower inside and use Collins opposite Mayo, or will we use all four with three down linemen? I asked Paul about going to the 4-3 3 years ago, and he told me it would never happen. So will I get some response from Paul if I suggest we switch back?
Paul, you want to handle that?
I think there's a chance that they could do both. I don't remember being so definitive because I know Bill has always said that we like to be multiple. But I take your word for it. I probably said that.
He was probably in one of his menopause days when he was a little moody.
It may have been. I could definitely see Bill trying to stay versatile. We've seen him use both sets. Not only within the same season, but within the same game. We've seen him sort of switch back and forth. And nowadays, with so much work being done in sub-defenses, it's harder to really identify what you do. Andy does something, every year where he has to identify what the scheme is on offense and what the scheme is on defense. You do something on freelance thing. And
I usually just go with multiple for everything.
Yeah, every year Andy and I have like a 10-minute conversation as to how you would identify it, and we don't really know. And it's not because we don't know what we're watching, but I just think the Patriots are very versatile, and they don't like to have anything that sort of just fits in one little box. I do think there's a chance that you could see some different things from last year even, but it would appear that he wants to be right now 4-3. Would you agree?
Well, I would sort of agree, but my question would be, we have this image of a 3-4 in our mind, which is, Vince Wilfork at nose, Richard Seymour and Ty Warren, these
three
big behemoths.
Big defensive lines.
Is it possible you would go to a 3-4, but that's, in this day and age, smaller? You know, maybe you could have Chandler Jones at 2, whatever he is, 70, as your defensive end. It doesn't have to be 3-15 Richard Seymour. And maybe your linebackers aren't quite as big. They're more speed-based outside linebackers. A few years ago, it was Mike Vrabel at 265 and Richard Seymour at 310.
Right.
Could those come down to 280 and 260 for
Chandler
those positions?
Jones in the past would have been an outside linebacker.
Right. Could he be an end now?
Behind a guy like Andy said, Richard Seymour. Now he's saying, well, could you have Chandler Jones at 270 in front of Jamie Collins?
Now, Chandler Jones still has to deal with tackles. He's going to be going one-on-one with tackles. He's going to be on their outside shoulder, and they're going to own him, and he's going to have some tight ends coming down. I mean, he's still going to have to deal with stuff, but do you say, I'm going to beat things with speed, and I have to match the speed on the other side of the ball, and there'll be fewer times where they're just going to take advantage of their size advantage.
I thought our buddy Mike Reese wrote an interesting thing. Over the weekend, he likes to do those NFL sort of, just 10 NFL random thoughts or whatever, I'm not sure.
Quick
exactly
hit thoughts around the NFL and Patriots.
Okay, there you go.
The voice. What was the voice all about?
I didn't know there was a voice activating system on ESPN Boston. No. But one of the things
he never talks that fast.
One of the things that
he
said
is
a very calculated talker.
and along the lines of what Andy and I were just talking about, when could you ever remember, you know, Belichick? It used to be Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork. You're bringing in guys like Keith Traylor and Ted Washington. Big, big defensive linemen. It's been a couple of years since they've drafted, you know, one of that type. Now, I think there was might have been some guys this year. Andy talked a lot about the defensive tackles in this particular first round. Maybe he liked some of them. They weren't. They really weren't available. They had all gone off the board.
You but know, even some of them Star were a little and like Sharif 295, Floyd and 297, athletic
Sly based. Williams.
They were shoot the gappers. You know, they weren't as much, you know.
That's true.
Wilfork is, who knows what he weighs? 340, 370, 3, I mean.
It's all relative.
He's always listed at 325, right, is the weight.
That's what he had been, I don't know.
Your bra yeah. and yeah. laugh.
redistributing.
But, you know, some of these guys were right around 300 and athletic, and, you know, some of them running these. Maybe this whole thing is trending that way with, you know, Margus Hunt is 280 pounds running a 4.5. He's now.
Let's find 11 guys on defense that can chase the ball.
And Bill Polian goes, you asses, you that's what I tried to do 10 years ago.
Let's see. Sure. David in Manila, in the Philippines.
Boulder?
Says, I'm sorry that I didn't say in my email last Tuesday where I was from. For that, I will promise to buy you guys lunch if my trip to the USA will push through December of this year or next year. Anyway, I have read and heard a lot about the tweets spoiling the draft, and personally, it really didn't bother me. I was watching TV, listening to you guys, and reading Twitter all at the same time. What I didn't like was that it took for so long for the picks to be announced, even if it said that the pick was in. One suggestion that I heard was to have the team itself announce the pick from their war rooms at the same time they submit the draft card, and just have the commissioner give the hugs and jersey to the player. What are your thoughts on this approach?
I like it. Get it out there right away.
Except Bill wouldn't announce anything.
That's we picked a player.
Well, we'd find a way to spoil that
right,
party.
We would.
We picked a football player.
They'd ruin it, so you can't
actually,
let them do it.
Actually, we can't even say that. Sometimes they pick rugby players.
Right.
Swimmers.
Wrestlers. We took a wrestler. Yeah.
Chris says, hi, guys. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Patriots haven't mentioned T.J. Moe from Missouri joining the team. He brings an upside like Amendola, and I think he's great undrafted pickup. He is quick, and his production only dropped because of Missouri's scheme change. What do you guys think?
A lot of people like Mo. He is slow. He's quicker than he is fast. His 40 time was not very good, 4.8.
So he's a slow-mo?
Yeah. No-mo, slow-mo.
I didn't love him.
So you're no.
Let's see. Josh from Waterloo.
It's just so stupid. Yeah.
Hey, draft experts and Eric. Okay, so we've been told repeatedly by the little man named Eric, don't you want to know the information as soon as possible? If that were true, why wouldn't we turn off PFW and actually follow the other guys on Twitter? That way we don't have to wait for a pompous little ass to try to pawn off the information as his own. Not to mention the riveting.
I never did that. I never said it was my information.
Not once. Not to mention the riveting radio it is to hear you guys say, "Well, it's this guy." No, wait. Now they're saying it's this guy. Oh, nope. Maybe it's this guy.
That's just because we follow Jason Lockenfora.
But since
I think he had a seizure in the middle of the draft.
But since this is the place to ruin things by letting out information before others get a chance to see it for themselves, i.e., Kevin with Ted, and Eric with Twitter. Eric, they do not feel like bags of sand. They are soft and wonderful, along with the rest of sexual pleasures with a woman.
With a woman. With a woman.
Sorry,
women, too.
Sorry to,
a woman?
Sorry to ruin that one, Eric, but at least now you won't die without the information.
Wow.
Didn't need you to tell me that, a-hole.
Good. That was harsh. That was hurtful, too. Taking a lot of
funny.
Shots at us today.
A lot of people correcting us.
You should be. I'm sure we were wrong about
says,
a lot of things.
Hey, Andy, just want you to know all Android and iPods run on a different operating system than PC. Viruses on a PC all end up in, and he goes through all this whole thing.
So I can safely surf porn on my iPad.
Yeah.
Okay. I got out of the car at the town hall yesterday, and in the car next to me in the passenger seat was some porn catalog just sitting right on the guy's car.
But then Josh says Eric's statement regarding Mac products is incorrect. Mac products are just as susceptible to viruses and malware as PCs. The real reason they suffer from infections less frequently is that the naughty folks devising suck executable files aim for the platforms where they can do the most damage. Since most people use Microsoft PCs, those make the best targets.
when hoping to infect the most people and cause the most havoc. That is the only difference in the current rate of infection. The supposition that MAT products are somehow safer is entirely false.
I disagree with your premise.
So we have two emailers that are contradicting each other. And we have the executive vice president of technology sitting in front of me, and he hasn't weighed in at all.
with his jar
that
open.
That is true. Most of these things are aimed
at PCs. That is true.
It's true. They go after the PCs
because they still have
most
the dominant
people have PCs.
But do iPads have cookies and all that crap?
Yeah, you can cookie. They have a small amount of memory.
Can I have another cookie in a little while?
So,
okay. All right.
When you put your password on a site, it retains that, you know.
But I mean, aren't there a ton of cookies on some sites?
Oh, and yeah.
You clean that folder out sometimes. It's just
it could take a while.
Yeah, boatloads of crap in there.
Yeah.
You have to re-enter passwords you forgot
all
about.
That's the one downside. Yeah. I think you can fix that.
Muhammad wants to know, are the Buccaneers crazy? Why would they want Jeff Demps? He's not committed to football.
Maybe they don't want him to be committed to football. Maybe they only see him as a part-time guy that they can use.
Right. Maybe they don't care.
Yeah.
They certainly had no need for Blunt.
Right.
I mean, he was there last year and barely played.
And they got a pick out of it.
Yeah.
So they got a low pick. I mean, listen, I don't think it was much of a needle-moving trade.
Yeah.
I think we got rid of a guy that we had no interest in Demps, based on his, as the emailer said, lack of commitment. And I think the Bucs had an equal lack of use for Blunt.
I do kind of hope one of these days, late next fall or something, I'm watching highlights and there's like this Jeff Demps scintillating kickoff return like 109 yards.
Well, you would, because that's that's automatically what you would focus on.
No, because
on.
I've spent so much time ripping him.
We play them in week two.
But he'll be in track at that point.
Maybe.
And it's got to be late in the year when he's actually going to focus on football.
And you'll be so excited to get here on the following Tuesday to tell everybody what bunch of jackasses.
No.
Right?
The point I'm making is I think he's a jag on the football field, on the track, and a guy who has no dedication to anything.
I do, too. And I would be surprised.
And bilked this organization out of some $390,000.
Yeah, I'm not going
I don't like.
I'm not going to eliminate the possibility that he turns in a decent kick return or something. You know, it takes
Paul,
one of the
he
house.
Took money out of our mouths.
I don't think that he is going to be a I don't think he's going to be a big-time player. I don't think he's got the ability to be a
or the heart.
An impact football
player. The dedication.
Player.
All right,
the
that's going to be it for
fortitude.
This edition of PFW in Progress.
Testicinal?
Thanks for listening on this Thursday.
Fortitude.
Testicinal.
That was a combination of testicular and intestinal.
he's just going to keep
Minicamp.
On talking
we'll
right
see
now.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.